Super Gaming Best Friends. Super Gaming Best Friends. Monkey throwing barrels. Hunting ducks with dogs of scenarios, and we'll play with you.
Hey everyone, welcome to Super Gaming Best Friends. On this wonderful Tuesday, March 5th, 2013. I'm your host, Josh Lee. I have with me, not in studio, but from far away, on the other side of 7 inches of snow, Justin Lacey.
Thanks, Saturn.
And working the sound effects tonight, separated by an ocean, Ethan Moses.
Hey guys,
they really love you.
Good to see you. It's real good to see you. Good to see everybody.
It kind of takes me out of it though when you don't have just like ambient noise from the crowd, like when they're not just laughing.
They're just really quiet and disciplined. It's like a Japanese crowd.
It's true. They act. Yeah, that's. I watch all their Japanese game shows. That's very true.
Is it racist if it's a compliment?
Oh, no, it comes from, I used to watch Pride Fighting back in the day, and, like, the Japanese crowd did not say anything at all. They would cheer when something good happened, but it was like...
And they never booed.
Yeah, it was awesome.
They would never boo. That was a cool thing. So, yeah, video games, that's cool, but what I really want to know is, how have you guys been? What have you been up to since we last met? Justin, did you do anything cool this weekend?
I actually, for the first time in a long time, took some of your advice, Josh, and I checked out the Batman animated films, the Dark Knight Returns, not to be confused with the things we confused it with before, and watched both of these, and so I just wanted to say that you're right, they're pretty awesome, and bonus side feature that I'd forgotten about from reading the graphic novels is it helped me hate Superman even more, so... Batman's awesome. Superman still sucks even more. So I'm a happy comic goer.
Yeah, that Superman in those books he's a
douche.
Yeah,
he's a douche.
I mean, he's always a Boy Scout, but he's real dick.
Yeah, he's the Superman working for
Ronald Reagan.
That's kind of weird. Yeah, but
it's a weird. It's 80s. Yeah. Commentary, you know, kind of thing. So at least they kept that in there and they didn't try to change that and make it more relevant or something.
It would have been easy to change that for sure. And so those were, I got those on Amazon, so I highly recommend, like, especially I think anybody that likes just Batman movies and isn't really into the comics would get into these. And voice acting was top notch. I'm starting to see well, the girl that did Robin, she's on Modern Family. She's starting to pop up, like, everywhere and, like, doing voice-related things. She's on some College Humor stuff lately. And
she did a good job.
That was kind of weird that she was the new Robin, but that was cool.
Well, what do you think of Peter Weller?
I thought it was awesome. I thought, like, and I'm pretty much everyone except Conroy sounds weird to me, but it worked just because it's an older Batman. The voice fit. The fact that it was a different voice made sense in my brain, and then he seemed age appropriate and still a badass. So. Yeah,
it did. They sounded just similar enough sometimes, mm-hmm. where when he would, his delivery was a little somehow even slower and more deliberate than Conroy's, and it was like appropriate sometimes, and there were those other times where I just thought it was a little, I don't know, like, is he? How much does he have to drink today? You know, what time do they bring him in? All that.
Well, at least he didn't go like straight Michael Ironsides. Like he wasn't ever, you know, blathering type of thing. So
that's just because he's Canadian.
And it's a really interesting Bruce Wayne too in that story. Just and there are a couple moments where like I was like, did Batman just kill that dude? And they always went back to kind of correct it. And because I was like, what? Every now and then I just kind of question what I was watching and like what has happened to Batman, but he's still Batman. So
yep,
that was cool. I really thought that was awesome.
I'm glad you watched that. Ethan, are you going to watch this? I didn't know how excited you were when we're talking about?
I have them downloaded. Actually, you just kind of reminded me that those are on my iPad, so maybe I should take some time and watch it. Yeah, I'm going to check those out. I will check those out. Yes.
It also made me go ahead and get one of the seasons of the animated series on Amazon, because I didn't have it in digital form. I have on DVDs, but those are all boxed away and really hard to get to in my closet, so I'd rather spend, you know, an additional $20 or so and buy them again. So, but I didn't watch them. I just bought them to have them.
on that future-proof platform.
Yeah.
Called a website's digital downloads.
Amazon will be that's fine.
Maybe. Yeah, you know what? They may last longer than the DVDs. Eventually, those are supposed to deteriorate, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, you and I are talking about that offline. I moved a couple years ago and never really unboxed all my DVDs because, like you said, most of that stuff's already on Netflix or on one of the streaming services. Mm. And I just don't know what I want to do with my boxes. And that's going to become, you know, an even bigger issue with games this generation, because there's going to be so many more digital means to buy them this time. But I don't know what the solution is. Do I want to get rid of them? They're taking up an awful lot of space, and I foolishly trust these Amazon and streaming services. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
Apparently, Jeff Bezos, pronounce that right?
Mm-hmm.
He builds things to last. I was just looking at building a new desk, like building one, and I was looking at the old solid core door and attaching mm-hmm. legs to that. And Amazon famously, like when they started up in, it's like 95 or 96 or wherever that was, had they had just built all these desks themselves to save money, which I'm not sure how exactly that saves money. I'm pretty sure IKEA was around then. And so they were like, it was a door and then some like these like 4x4 posts, and they would just buy like one piece of wood, you know, cut it in two. There's two legs, and then they would bolt them on with these angle brackets. It's like a couple of angle brackets, and doesn't look the sturdiest when you see it. And but like that's all the programmers, everyone had those things, and I guess there's still some of them in circulation today. There's like people like programmers stuff that have them at home. That took them home when they, you know, replaced them and all that kind of stuff, and they're still going. So I trust that their digital services will be lasting just as long as these tables.
I mean, I think that's a pretty foolproof example.
Yeah, exactly. So. Right. That's right.
But, I mean, I was actually looking around, but kind of reorganizing the office, and I just don't like any of the media storage options that are out there. Like, you either have these giant shelves full of discs, you know, box copies of your DVDs and games, or you lock them away. And I don't know, like, I've never liked having your collection of movies and games be the centerpiece of your living room, but with the amount that I buy, they kind of dominate the space, but I also don't want to lock them away where they're hard to get to when I do want them. So these are the problems I deal with in my daily life. Because what?
Ethan, what would you do with your boxes?
What I do with my boxes is I would not hide them, but I also would not make them the centerpiece of my living room. I would find a tasteful location on the ceiling, a transparent box, so that people don't walk in and immediately look up and see a box hanging from the ceiling. But if I want them to know how many DVDs I have, I'll say, would you kindly look up to the ceiling? That's my DVD collection. And then when they say, can you grab one? I'll be like, no, I wasn't thinking that far ahead. I pulled that to the top and we're not going to be able to get it back down. But you're not going to get those out anyway because everything's on Netflix.
Also, anybody
you're
that,
so helpful. You're
anybody
so
that
helpful.
Lies down at your house is going to see the games.
Whoa.
It'll be in the hall. Put it in the hall.
I was thinking maybe the bedroom.
Drunk, and they won't remember. Oh, like maybe some like reflective glass So you could be like, hey, babe, I want to see, you know, what's going on. But then also I want to see, you know, I want to make sure that all my seasons of Naruto are on in there and intact.
How are they sticking to the ceiling? Are they in like a, is this like a bookshelf that's attached to the ceiling?
Oh, God, that sounds dangerous.
Future bolts. Bolts from the future. It's like glue and bolts together combined. It's real tough. Mm-hmm. Nothing will ever bring it down.
Is that what Dippin' Dots is doing these days?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Moved on from ice cream to making bolts.
Yeah, the real good future bolts. It's great. Real good company. Real easy conversion. Transition, I mean. So.
I don't really trust your guys' advice at all.
No, you shouldn't. No.
Why do I come to the show? I did, while I had you guys here, we like horror movies. Have you guys seen Sinister yet?
Wait, which one is that?
Sinister is...
Ethan Hawke?
It was the movie of last fall. It was the horror movie from last fall.
Wait,
where...
Does it have Ethan Hawke?
Yes, the Ethan Hawke movie.
Yeah, I have not watched it yet, but I want to.
Yeah, I've not watched it.
Okay.
How was it?
So, it's kind of following this trap that some of the more recent... More recent horror films, I'm thinking back to Insidious at this point. The kind of bigger, the ones that get the bigger push, where three quarters of the movie is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And then they have to find a way to end it and it sucks. So, because it, I don't know, it's just one of those things. I watched these kind of movies to be creeped out and they telegraphed the ending and it wasn't very creepy by the end. And, it has a nice little twist to it, but it was really good, and then it sucked, and it was just, you know, amazing how a movie can go from like 4 stars to 1 that quickly. So, again, with Insidious, watch, you know, 2/3, 3/4 of this, and then just turn it off, and just your mind will fill in the blanks, and it will be more entertaining.
You know, for all the times that either you've given or been given that advice, do you know anyone that's ever once actually listened and turned the movie off?
No, ever. But I wish I was that person.
I know that. I think, that's what I say. But
yeah, that'd give me an itch. That'd give me an itch.
Because you're thinking, like, what if they're telegraphed? Wrong?
I imagine choreographed, and then I imagine there was like a big Bollywood number at the end of that movie. I was like, yeah, that is a really stupid way to end the movie. That seems silly. So
no, I was actually watching it with my girlfriend, and I was kind of working on a house project at the time, and. Like, I turned it on, and she's like, you're not going to make me watch this by myself, are you? And then I got kind of sucked into it. But then, like, by the end of it, when we both realized this movie kind of sucked and it's not scary, she felt kind of silly for saying that because it wouldn't have mattered. But yeah. Anyway, the trailer for the movie was really good. And like I said, it starts off really well. But those horror movies just can't hold it together.
No.
Man, it's just too bad, too, because I love them, but they're just poop. Yeah.
Just take the if they took their time, you know, they didn't listen to any Hollywood executives, they'd be awesome. They'd be perfect. They're like, we need more teen stuff. What are teens like nowadays? Bad endings. Teens love bad endings. That's what I get out of all this is teens love bad endings, and that sucks for us adults. So if you're a teen and you love bad endings, and congratulations, every movie's awesome for you.
Why aren't they looking into the off-topic segments of video game podcasts for their ideas?
You're looking at
untapped market. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Well. I write letters to Hollywood every day. They don't respond. And there's even pictures in those letters.
Actually, wait a minute. Okay, so Justin, was it on air at some point? You and I were talking about zombies versus gladiators as like an idea that we had.
I think
not
that was just
heard.
One of our random chats.
Okay,
you know?
so he couldn't have known. No. So Clive Barker gets full credit for his upcoming film, Zombies versus Gladiators.
God, I thought we were on to something. Every idea. Now, I'm not even going to say every good idea is taken. Every idea is taken. Somebody has done it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay, though. If you do it well, you can do if you do it well, you can do whatever you want to. I mean, I'm writing a vampire romance novel, and I'm just putting a different spin on it. There's no vampires in it. Just high schoolers.
What? So
like
what do they
blood.
Do?
It's real fucked up. It goes south quick.
What kind
it's
of?
Like real strange.
What's the genre?
Romance. Teen romance. Pop.
Okay.
Bollywood. I don't know.
Is it light on drama, or is it like real serious?
Real heavy on drama, real heavy on song and dance. It is in book form, which is going to be confusing, but
yeah.
I actually write out the songs. There's sheet music in there as well, so you can sing along or even
come with
the
CD
if you want to. Yeah.
I'm going to get this on Audible because I want to hear the
please
songs.
Please put in disc number one. Yeah, it's a great idea.
Are there vampire or zombie Bollywood movies? Has that been done?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure
have
they
into
have.
It. I'm sure.
Yeah.
They've got everything. Bollywood.
I saw Bollywood Matrix.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. I can't remember what it's called, but it's there's a guy and he's like, well, it's kind of also like Terminator and Transformers and I don't know. So this dude
awesome.
Is he's like a cyborg or a robot. There's an actual guy and then he's got a clone of him that's like a robot clone. And there's and he multiplies, I think, or there's just a bunch of them and they form large, like, you know, Voltron like things.
Dude,
like,
this sounds amazing. Big, where are we going?
You know, there's one point it's a big snake, another time it's just a tornado, another time it's like just a big stompy kind of robot thing, and then at one point, one dude has like 20 M16s all like attached together sideways, and he starts shooting them all and like spinning around in circles and killing cops. And then there's a van chase scene and stuff blows up and yeah, it's pretty good.
Sounds like my kind of movie.
Yep, it's pretty awesome.
You know, actually, speaking of horror movies, I don't know. Can I segue into a really weird story that happened to me this past weekend?
Does this have to do with that screwdriver thing we were talking about before the show?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't. I wish it did, but it doesn't. But close. And I promise you, you can talk to Aubrey, my wife, who does not tell lies as frequently as I do. This really happened. So you know, Saturday I woke up thinking, just Saturday. I'm just going to have a fun day and just stay inside. And then we went to a lake. Some big lake in Berlin, and we walked underneath of it through a tunnel. That was real cool. And I was like, man, nothing can get better than that. Nothing of this day will be any more interesting than that. And then I went to a birthday party I wasn't invited to. Well, I was invited to it, but not like personally by the person who was having the birthday. It was actually a friend of the friend. But anyway, we went to this bar and we walked.
It's not being invited.
No.
It's like an indirect invitation. But, you know, I shook the guy's hand, said happy birthday. He was like, yeah, welcome. What's your name? I was like, Doesn't really matter.
Come on, let's be serious. This doesn't matter.
No, it's just you'll never see me again. So I go to this bar. It's in a sketchy part of town. And for some reason, I've been trying to build into watching the movie Hostel. I have never seen that. And probably I probably won't after this incident because I walked into this place. And it looks like a normal kind of rundown bar up front. But then you walk to the back of it. And the person that we went with was like, hey, you got to see this. And we walked back there, and it looked like a fucking kill room. Like, it was white tile. Like, just, it was scary as fuck. And so that's one. We're like, that's weird, but maybe it was an old kitchen or something. They converted whatever. Not a big deal.
I think you know the difference between an old kitchen and a place where people get murdered. I don't know,
dude. We're in Europe. I don't know if there's different kinds of things that people do. I mean, you know. But then we walk further back, and there's another smaller kill room. That has
for little people.
He's labeled.
Yeah. This one, big kill room. Where do you want which kill room? The big one or the small one? The small one.
The princess kill room.
The tiny one. That's for the tots. That's the kids' kill room. You know, we got to separate the adults and the children in this. So we walk back in this, and like, okay, this is weird enough, but whatever. And there's a jar in the middle of the kill room. Okay. And there's something in the jar. It's transparent. So you can see through it. And it looks really weird. It looks like maybe flowers or like those little socks they give you at the shoe store when you're trying to try on shoes. Those little brown like leotard looking things. And we looked at it. We're like, no big deal. And then we look up on the wall. And on the wall are sheets of paper that I swear to you are human skin.
Holy
as
shit.
As if somebody has pulled skin off their body and like put it up into like these little sheets of paper, and on that it is written this really cryptic poem about flesh and whatnot.
What? No. Okay. Like, God damn it! Do you not be lying right now, because if this is real, this is the best story.
I'm not fucking. This was the weirdest fucking thing. Aubrey will tell you that this, and so we're like, this is kind of fucking weird. And the dude that was running this place looked straight up like either he's either a stoner or a serial killer. I mean, there's like a thin line between those two things. And so then, so we're like, okay, well, this is fucking weird, but whatever. I mean, with this paper, you can look into it and you see these little, it just, it looked like.
Like little, skin. Like veins or something, yeah, like weird.
Like, you know, capillaries. When you pull skin off, when you have a sunburn and you pull that skin off, it looks like someone just compacted that into paper. And so then I go to the jar and I walk over to it. And I'm like, I gotta fucking open this up. You can't just leave that. You know what? No one wants.
What, you opened it?
I opened it up. I probably shouldn't have, because I swear to you, I fucking swear to you that there was flesh in that fucking jar, as if somebody was like preserving it or doing. I don't know what the fuck was going on, but I tell you, I promise you that there was something fucking weird in that. And I closed it, and it was before I got like a whiff of it. And it was just real strange. But we stayed and had a couple beers just because they're pretty cheap there. But it was weird.
Charge much.
And it was so strange because, like, this whole party's going on. Like, this guy's birthday party's going on. He's like, ah, it's kind of a sketchy bar, but whatever. But imagine that in an English accent. It was the whole time everyone was real unsettled. And so we left eventually. But yeah, it was really weird thing. And like everybody was real nonchalant about it. But see, every time somebody came in the bar, they would go back to that room and they'd all like come out like, ooh, and I'm like, what is going on? No one's reacting to this. I don't know if this is a normal thing.
Welcome
or
to the
what.
Flesh
it was
room.
Fucking weird. Yeah, I know. I was going to say like that's people kept joking about that, but it's all fun and games until you're the person underneath these kill rooms banging for help and people are just listening to music and like, ah, this is so much. Happy birthday, Ed. And you're like, oh, thanks, guys. And where'd Keith go? Where's Keith? Anyone seen Keith? Nah, don't worry. He's probably wandered off drunk again like he usually does. Keith's face is in a fucking jar, everybody.
I think you stumbled onto like the set of Hostel 3. You sure you weren't?
That's what I was nervous about, because I was like, oh shit, dude. Like, I know that was in Prague, was Hostel set in Prague, and I know that there was some big issue and like tourism really took a dive. But I mean, you really have to be careful. And Berlin's a really safe
Thanks,
city.
Eli Roth.
Yeah, yeah. Berlin's a safe city, but. Holy shit, that doesn't mean that there's not some crazies out there putting faces in the fucking jars.
Buffalo
and stuff.
Gunther.
So yeah, that was a weird, weird experience, but hey, why not?
Like, what,
it sounds like a fucking dream.
What's
it does, dude. I tell you what, it's too unbelievable to not believe. Like, that's the thing about it. It was just so fucking weird. And there could have been a reasonable like explanation aliens. For it, but nobody was giving it to me, and everybody said, that's fucking scary.
What about
and
the stuff?
Aubrey herself.
What about the stuff that you didn't see? Like, maybe he forgot to grab that one jar, but there were actually, like, 20 of them in the room, and he put them away. Like, they were like, behind the bar or something. And it had all kinds of parts. It, like the Fly remake. Like, ears.
Yeah.
And penises.
I imagine there's like a reanimator head, you know, like some dude's like head sitting there, like he's like talking like, well, how bad? So I'm like, we're just all poking at this face in the jar. So, yeah, really.
That's really
what
messed
you doing
up.
In those situations. Like you watch
you
movies
run.
And like,
you run to the door and leave.
I know, but just like in movies, I think like, you know how you always say like, oh, like those kids are so stupid. We were those stupid kids. We just hung around because of
damn
beer
it.
Was cheap.
Did you split was, up? Like, oh, here's another room. I'm going to go check that out while you're interested
I did
in this
it.
Other
I did
thing.
At one point when they turned the lights off back there, I went back just to check it out to see what it was like. Real fucking creepy, bad idea. But then somebody commented and they said, we're all kind of playing jokes about how this is like a horror movie, but you literally just separated yourself. You're the one guy that's out with three girls, so obviously you get killed first. That's how it usually happens. Yeah. But we made it. We're fine. Everyone's
good.
Fine.
So, everyone survived. That's so makes her a good weekend.
Why didn't you get your camera out? Like, you haven't.
I fucking wish I had it. Dude, you don't even understand. Dude, like,
I was going to say, you have an episode for your investigation show right there.
Oh, I know. Or absolutely. If I could find my way back to that place,
and I'm pretty sure that was on
pretty big risk.
Ghost Hunters International.
Oh, wherever you went. I'll take them there. I'll take them there and say, look what I found. Look at the skin. I don't even know what they would do with it.
Did you taunt the
ghosts?
Jars?
Do what?
Did you taunt the jars? Go, yeah. Go all
are
ghost
you, what are you doing? Come on. Come on, face.
Come on, face.
Well, that skin came off of something.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Maybe it was a pig, because I know pigs have the same kind of skin that
sure.
we do. But regardless,
yeah, exactly
what are you
the
doing
same.
With that in your fucking bar, dude? Like, what do you do? I know it's a kill room. That doesn't mean you have to kill things in it. You know? Convert it completely.
How big
were
the squares?
Probably about like mini poster size.
So it could have come off someone's back easily.
Someone's back, like maybe like a real big person, I'm imagining. Or it's a collection of people's skin mashed together. I don't know how that works. I don't know how you pulp skin into like, paper. Yeah, that's not a process I'm familiar with, but regardless, it was odd.
I feel like I learned something.
Yeah. Watch your shit. Watch your shit.
Oh, that's okay. Well, wow. I didn't do any of those things.
I hope no one else did.
Yeah. Well, we know at least one person did, and they don't have much to speak about.
I watched Drive. While you guys were doing cool stuff. Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was awesome. Like, it was really, I have no idea how I missed that year and a half ago or whenever. Oh, that movie was fantastic. And the whole time, I just kept thinking, like, man, Hotline Miami really, really ripped off this movie. God damn, it was so good. They had the best soundtrack. It was, like, beautifully shot. I loved all the characters and the performances. Ryan Gosling's jacket was the coolest.
I want that jacket bad.
You can buy it. I found it online. It's $160 bucks.
Dude, that's a deal.
I know, right? But then I was like, oh man, I wonder how many people owned this. This jacket.
No one
that you know. I don't know. But I went on. I just did like a Google image search, and I saw tons of douchebags wearing the jacket at like Halloween. But I was thinking, like, maybe I could get away with it if I just wore it every day.
Yeah. You know? Every day but Halloween.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That was, that was fun. That was pretty cool. And also, I want to tell you guys, I played the Spartacus board game. I'm a big fan. You guys know I'm a big fan of the show. And, right. This board game, my buddy Travis brought it over. We played three players, and it was like probably some of the most fun I've had, like playing something on a tabletop in a while. It was so, so good. You run every player in the game has their own ludus, so as you're playing, you go to like the slave market and you get like your handmaidens and stuff like that, and then you get you buy gladiators. And you draw cards and stuff that like you can play to screw other players or defend yourself when they try to screw you, that kind of stuff.
Wait, which type of screwing? This is Spartacus.
Yeah, no, you know what? There's no, they actually keep it pretty, I mean, it's like dudes die or get decapitated and stuff like that. But like artwork wise, there were no, I didn't see any nipples.
I was going to say, is there any random, I'm not gonna random say Lucy Lawless nudity?
No, which is surprising, but, I'm not saying it's family friendly because the stuff you're doing is pretty awful. However, it's not like I wouldn't be like super off putting for somebody who, you know, doesn't want to see all that nasty stuff. So, but it was so awesome because there was so much, there was like auction, there was like trades, like people are wheeling and dealing. It's like, man, I really, like really want that gladiator you've got or whatever card. And so, like, you can just offer. There's a part in the round where it's an open market thing where you say, I'll give you five gold or what was it, denarii or whatever for $5. Like, we call them bucks. I'll give you $5 for that, that badass dude. And so you're dealing back and forth and stuff. And then each round there's going to be a one-on-one fight. But since there's, more than, you know, two players in the game, how you decide that is you get to bid on who hosts, who's like the host, person for like for the games, which you automatically like, it gets you, you know, farther along in the game when you do that, but you cost like usually a lot of money to do it. But when you get it, you get to pick the people that fight. You get to like invite people to the games. And then you actually have this like a fight with the guys. The gladiators have stats and you're rolling dice for attacks and all that kind of stuff. So you have all this like metagame stuff going on and like the combat. Is actually, you know, decent. Oh man, it was so much fun. It was so good.
Was there three of you?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it was just, and we were just like, very quickly, we were just boning each other for, you know, like...
Again, like, your metaphors. Yeah. It's a fair question.
Yeah.
When Spartacus is involved.
Yeah. It was
and especially with you and your friends.
Meddling in each other's affairs.
Yeah.
Business affairs. Wait, I'm just some. There's nothing I can say that'll make that sound better.
No.
So yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much does a handmaiden go for these days?
I bought several of them for like 2 denarii a piece, 2 coins, really? Like two bucks, 2 Roman bucks. Yeah, very cheap. Very cheap.
When you told me about this,
nice looking too.
Earlier, when you told me about this offline, I actually thought you guys made up like a Spartacus drinking game. I didn't think there was actually
it's a DVD
a game.
War game.
I thought you guys were watching the show.
No,
and
no, this is this is actually a really good. Yeah, this is a fantastic game. I don't know what the designers did like before this, but they know how to make a really good board game.
Cool.
And it makes kind of pisses me off that we didn't stop and play it at Gen Con last year because we walked by it a couple of times and I see it and I go, licensed game. It's not going to be great. You know, I do it.
Yeah. But you love Spartacus. That's surprising.
I know, but those games, but there are more licensed like tabletop games probably than there are like video games nowadays. And most of them are not awesome. So, you know, I made assumptions, and I will not make that mistake again, because it was fantastic. let's talk about video games, guys.
Okay.
All right, you guys played some, I hope?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shit, I forgot to do my homework.
Did you not play any video games,
whoops,
dude? This is not going to be good for
okay, then I'm going to... Then Ethan.
I've been lying for 3 years.
Ethan, you and I talk about games. Justin, you can go play some, so you can talk about them.
You could. Yeah, I was going to say
what have you been playing?
Well, big stuff, man. I told everybody at the beginning of the year that I was going to actually beat games. And
continued
beat 3 games in like the last 5 days.
Oh,
feel really good about it.
Where's the applause button?
Yeah. Oh, I shut it off. Let's
do
some claps. I'm kind of on a tear right now. I kind of took a break from playing games because I was kind of, I don't know, kind of lost my luster for them, but... I don't know what was going on with me. I couldn't just decide on any games. So I just went back to the ones that I felt like, you know, I had the best chance of beating. So first off, I beat Black Ops 2 and The Walking Dead. Putting those back to back is a very, very interesting dynamic. I kind of wanted to talk about them both at the same time while giving subtle little instances for that. So one, both of them, great. Like, I'm glad I got to the end of The Walking Dead. I'm glad I got to experience that. I was kind of disappointed that my decisions kind of funneled me into one kind of situation at the end, but not so disappointed that I, you know, it took anything away from the story and all that kind of stuff. Holy shit, is that an emotional ending? Fucking A. That sucks. not gonna spoil it, but if, you know, it's sad, and everyone knew it was building up to be sad.
Are you glad you played it?
Yo, I enjoyed it. Okay. I still don't know if I love the gameplay, but
sure.
Fucking A, did they do enough with the story? But what surprised me is playing that next to Black Ops 2, the endings, and I'm talking about endings in terms of how the decisions make up, actually had more variations in terms of the ending based on decisions you made throughout the game than The Walking Dead did. Like, it was really weird. Now, obviously, story-wise, you can't compare those two because it's Black Ops 2 versus The Walking Dead. But I didn't realize how, like, when they talked about with Black Ops 2, how you could affect the story and all do all this stuff. And, like, it's really... It was kind of a unique way they did that. Props to them. It was still the same old Black Ops... you know, Call of Duty type story. Loved it, you know, the whole way through. I mean, I love those kind of games, but the fact of the matter is, and this is a spoiler for anybody, is anybody going to be concerned about a spoiler on this?
I am not.
Josh?
And it's been long enough. Just try to, you know, just get the major beats without maybe using characters' names or something. Whatever. You know, avoid what you can, but I actually want to know because sometimes, like at this point, a spoiler actually might make me go back and finish it, so I would kind of like to hear it.
So, essentially, there's a certain digital actor who, whether you decide to there's a really big choice that you have to make that impacts his life, and it totally changes the story, like how things play out, like whether things.
Well,
are
there's only one choice then.
Well, no, there's multiple ones.
No, there, no.
What if you? What if you send him to college?
To that one.
If his life is in your hands, there's only one choice.
Dude,
college.
But here's the thing. Let me tell you this.
Kids, marriage.
Think about what choice you would make based on who that was. Think about what choice you would make. Okay. You really want to make the opposite choice, because I made that choice. I made the correct choice. I kept him.
Really?
I kept him alive. I made the right choice. Wasn't the thing to do. It was not the thing to
do.
No,
it was. It's the world's a better place. I don't care how it turned out. I don't know what happens. But for the world,
it was man. Like, I thought I was doing really good. I thought I made really good choices. I got the worst ending. Like, out of all of them, like, I beat all the Strike Force missions. Like, I did all that, and I got the worst ending. And it was just these little subtle nuances to that. But again, it was great to play that game after playing some of the games I've been playing, because a lot of the games I've been playing are just about you're building your character, you're putting all this time into battle and combat and stuff like that. And holy cow, love them or leave them, but Call of Duty does a really good job of just, like, by the end of it, just everything just explodes, and it's just fucking insane. You throw in the new robots and all that technology, and it's just absolutely nuts. And I, like, by the end of it, I was like, God bless America. Like, it's just nuts. And then, so I beat that. Then I went to Walking Dead.
Hang on. Yeah. So, would you agree that Michael Rooker is the American Sean Bean?
In what regard?
All regards. He dies in most of his stuff. He's underappreciated. He's really sexy, but most people don't know it.
Actually, he really grew on me. And it's funny based on, again, how his character is kind of developing in The Walking Dead. And then coming into this, like, it was kind of nice, because you're kind of like, hey, pro Rooker, you know what I mean? Like, beforehand, where maybe you were like, he's kind of a dick. Now you're kind of like, I'm getting kind of sweet on Rooker, actually.
It's fine. That's what I mean. There's only one choice.
I feel good. I know, and that's the thing. Like, they talk about, it's funny, because, in all movies, there's always this, like, they're like, look, you got to make the right decision or the emotional decision. And, like, my heart, it directed me in the wrong place. It wasn't like there was some, like, pretty lady that I've had a relationship with my whole life standing in front of me. It was Michael fucking Rooker. And my heart, like, would not allow me to make, like, the right choice. It just pushed you to say, no, he's got a certain, there's no, he's
right.
making it.
And see,
like,
this is my point, because if it was Sean Bean, you would do the same thing. You'd be like, I love Sean Bean. I can't kill him, but he's supposed to die. If he doesn't die, eventually, then things are going to, like, you had just basically screwed up time,
Yeah.
It's like going back in time, and then someone lived that wasn't supposed to, and then you just messed up everything. So, which is, sounds like exactly what happens if you let him live.
Mm-hmm. So Ethan, I Kill posed Rooker. This question to Justin Gifford, who finished Black Ops 2, but how the hell did you get past the Strike Force missions and... I can't do it, man. Like, as fun as it is shooting rockets off of horses,
I got it. Like, I beat it within 2 days. So I was like back to back. Like, I started on, like, I reloaded it and started on Sunday. I had to start the game over completely because I had a corrupt save. So I beat it back to back. I get in the Call of Duty zone. Like, there's kind of a zone I get into, and, like, I don't get out of it. Those missions, I didn't like them. They made me nervous because of how they would impact the story, and so I was really nervous going in. Like, I was like, oh, shit, like, I just can't fuck this up. And then I kind of just, like, played them like I play multiplayer, in the sense that, like, I shouldn't give a fuck. I just want to see how this game plays out, and that helped a lot, just because I was like, it doesn't matter, whatever, fuck it. Like, if you care about having the perfect story, like, definitely you want to care about the Strike Force missions, but... At that point, I was like, it doesn't matter. Like, I need it. Like, and I've been doing that with a lot of games in terms of making decisions, is I'm always like, am I making the right decision? Sometimes you just have to go with your instinct, and which is why it's funny that Walking Dead kind of, I have those kind of bookends, because Walking Dead, you don't have the time to sit and think if you made the right decision. So I kind of used a Walking Dead type strategy in Call of Duty Black Ops, and just like, go with your first instinct, do what you would normally do, and take it from there. So, but those are bad missions, but that being said, I like what you could possibly do with something like that. I like how you've integrated this kind of commander type position into a first-person shooter, kind of like, Natural Selection 2. That's a cool concept, and I think this was, because it was just me, I felt so powerless. Like, I felt like I didn't have enough control over the battlefield, but I could almost imagine if you had... There's something they could do with that. I'm just saying, there's something they could do. That was like a prototype. That's like almost like the Assassin's Creed type little mini games that kind of creeped in there. But what I would recommend to them, over there at Activision, is just don't focus on those too much, or get rid of them completely, unless you want to like take them completely out of the game and make a whole different game from it. It was just kind of really threw me off. It's just so nerve wracking, you know.
I wouldn't put it past them at this point to throw stuff in there to see if it gets any heat, to finally find a Call of Duty spinoff they can run with.
Because I mean, I feel like this was kind of, the game was, again, I'm saying this very loosely, the game was very experimental in terms of kind of the direction that Call of Duty's games have gone. They did some different things, not drastically different things. Again, the multiplayer remains completely unchanged. They tweaked the zombie section of it, but the single player got some kind of, a different kind of love, a different kind. They kind of invested a little bit more into it than they did in past titles, where it was just straight up linear. You know, you had one way to win. Or, you know, there was one kind of outcome. So I feel like they're like, okay, we make so much money off these. Let's experiment a little bit. I think people have reacted favorably to like how the mission plays out and how you have different endings and whatnot. I think the Strike Force people kind of panned that a little bit. So I think going from there, they could do some more dynamic stuff with it. But again, like at the end of the day, like I love those single player Call of Duty games, and it's the action movie fan in me. Like that's what it is. It's pure action. Very little thought goes into it, and that's fucking fine. You need those games sometimes. Like you really do.
So on that level, not to put you on the spot, but what's your favorite single player Call of Duty at this point? At least the modern.
Probably three. I think three was pretty over the top. This one was over the top because of all the technology and stuff.
Modern Warfare 3?
Yes.
Oh. Okay. No, I forgot they had a three of that. And so all I'm thinking is like,
sorry. Yeah,
maybe that like the console only one that was like weird. Like, what was it called? The big red one?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking too, Josh.
The big brown one.
I think I've made that joke before. None of those. I actually like during the World War II kind of era, Medal of Honor was kind of the game that I kind of played mostly for the most, you know, so like...
You should go back and play Call of Duty 1. They got it on. Yeah.
I don't know if I could.
But that surprises me. Like, it seems like Modern Warfare 3 kind of, I don't know, it took a little dip there, even from the single player side, but that's cool that you liked it.
But you just like kind of like the way the Call of Duty guys do it. You don't play like Warfighter and you didn't play Battlefield 3 campaign and stuff like that, did you? I mean, you didn't see those.
I tried Battlefield 3, but to me it was, I couldn't get into it. I like the fact that to me, like Call of Duty, what is just so over the top. I know people give them shit, but basically like the people, they're like, look, we just want you to like, feel good throughout this. Like, we want you to smile. There's all the tropes of action movies. You know, there's revenge, there's buddies getting killed, there's bros saving your ass at the last minute, like all that shit.
Buddies die, bros don't die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's a big
Rookers
difference.
Die.
But yeah, no, I was very happy with that. Funny, because... I mean, that definitely shouldn't, you know, and I don't want to have to talk too much about The Walking Dead because we've talked about that. But
I want to know what you have to say, so you're going to.
Yeah. Really, I think that my expectations were probably unrealistic in terms of how the ending was going to play out, but it didn't matter in the end. You know what I'm saying? Like all throughout the whole thing, I was like, that is hands down one of the best stories. In video games, just best stories. There's games out there that the gameplay is good enough that you don't have to worry about the story, and there's games where the story is good enough that you just completely ignore, or you know, you don't have to worry about the gameplay. You can just get through it. Walking Dead story was so good that I forgot about the gameplay. Like, I didn't even feel like it ever was a game. I felt like, again, I felt so pulled into the story. It was like, wow, this is, they did a really good job with that. And it's pretty cool because I think The Walking Dead is one of the only franchises that has a good game, a great television show, or a great game, great television show, and a great graphic novel. I mean, I can't think of anything that has that trifecta. Now, obviously, that new the new Walking Dead game that came out is probably going to ruin that tradition. And, but I mean, like, it's, it, like I felt pretty good about. Like, I feel really good about that because
well, X-Men.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
X-Men. Yeah. Yeah. That's.
They also have some shit video games, but Walking Dead is about to have one too.
A real gritty X-Men show. That'd be good. Where they discuss kind of the mutant politics more so than the actual fighting and stuff. Hey, man. Uh-huh. There's potential there.
Or maybe sci-fi. Get the Battlestar Galactica writers because that seems up their alley. They focus more on the politics and no action, but you'll notice.
It is cool seeing a comic that is not a superhero book to have this kind of success across different mediums.
What makes me want to get back into them, because, I mean, I'm way behind on the comics. Are they still going?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Did Kirkman take it back over? Or is it... That was... Okay, so...
We're on a lot of stuff. I don't know.
There may be somebody else writing it again or still, whatever. I don't know. Kirkman did the first, like, 50 issues or something, and then, like, Tony Moore took it over, and then there was another dude. They're, like... beyond where they are in the show, but there's characters on the show that would never even showed up in the books or like, so they respect the fans of the comics, but they've done a lot of cool stuff with the game though has some like basically just like cameos when the people cross paths a little bit. I'm wondering if in what are they calling it? Season 2 of the game, I don't know what they're going to do with that. Like,
yeah.
What do you guys want to see? You guys have played it all the way through. I mean, what would you like to see out of that?
I want all new. I know they haven't really gone outside of that region of the country. That's what I'd really want is I want to see another region. I want to see something completely separate. What's going on? But they probably won't do that. But I wouldn't want anybody we've crossed paths with. I wouldn't want a completely isolated story. Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, there's not very, very many people that we've crossed paths with that you'll actually have access to in season two. That's the thing. Like at the end of it, it was kind of like, oh, shit, like season two is going to have to be standalone. Like, they have some potential with one character. And again, I don't want to go into too much detail because I do know that people are still catching up on that. But they're going to have some trouble finding a character. I'm going to have trouble with the season two main character though, because Lee was such a great character.
Good.
Yeah,
so good.
And the actor was so good.
What do you mean?
That'll be one of the tougher ones. The actor that played him won't play the next season character. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, why not?
Well, why would you play the same? That would be really stupid. grandson came back in time from the future, something like that. Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming he won't have anything to do with. I mean, he may come back. He's a voice actor, so
I'm personally hoping for a prequel starring Larry before the zombie outbreak. Like going to, I don't know his just Moose Lodge meetings.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. Just like being an asshole at CVS. Where's the fucking potato chips? You moved them again. Aisle 3, potato chips in aisle 3. God damn it.
Gets me every time. God, he's a grumpy fucking
What
dude.
A crotchety old bastard. That guy, he was really awesome.
I do want to ask you, Ethan, about your comment about the linearity or like the, I guess, the kind of conclusion or like the... You said something about not feeling like you had much choice.
I do, and again, this is where expectations may be out of whack a little bit, because again, there is a funneling that happens towards the end. They do a really good job with allowing you to create your own story without getting too nutty with it. Picking what character survives at certain points, basically that other character is kind of takes on their you know, because I played it a couple times through with other different arrangements, not completely through, but just certain points, because I felt like regardless of my decisions at the end, the same group of people was around at the end. So it wasn't like you had this, you know, dynamic like, oh, this guy's in as opposed to this guy based on what you did. A little bit disappointed about that, but again, the story was really good. But I felt like, I don't know, like I'm trying not to spoil it when I say this.
Can you at least say that
I wanted a
Clementine, that Clementine was a, she ended up being an ancient alien race and that took away your choices?
At the very end of it, and it actually really segues into the new StarCraft II expansion, which is amazing. she's actually a Protoss, and you find that out at the end. Her eyes glow and she starts to use telekinesis. Threw me off really big time. But
my life for Ireland.
but I don't know. Like, and maybe that was it. Like, as I played the game, I was like, there's so many different things that I can do, but that's not realistic, because at the end of it, like, just like with, you know, what was going on with Mass Effect, like people were having, I know people had issues at the end of Mass Effect, and to one extent, like, I understand, but then after playing this, I'm like, yeah, but like, if you look at it from the fan perspective, shit, you want to have all these different multiple endings, you want to have these reasons to play through, but from the realistic perspective, like, man, that'd be fucking tough. Like, I just think about all the different decisions I made, and, you know, so let's say, for instance, I had the happier ending. What does that mean for season two if there is turn?
Well, you know what I mean? The right ending.
Yeah, and then, so then you have like Resident Evil 1, like canon type stuff. Like, did Barry die? You know what I mean? Like that kind of weird type stuff. And I think they wanted to settle it up. You know, they wanted you to create your story, but they wanted to settle it up. You know?
Did you feel ownership at least of your story, even if it?
Yeah, I mean,
that different than mine.
Yeah, I mean, like I feel like it was all building up to that conclusion, and I felt like, yeah, the whole time, like, I was like, oh, shit, like, there's some cool stuff that happened, you know, and I like people more so than other people, so that is why, to me, the ending, any sort of disappointment, when I say disappointment, I'm using that in a very mild sense of the word, didn't really matter, because the story just, like, there's a few instances where I wish my decisions would have mattered a tiny bit more, but again, at the end of the day, like, I almost liked how they kind of took that out of your hands too, because it wasn't like you could decide who was your team. You know, you're not like, oh, I'm going to put all my skill points in these four, and they're going to make
loyalty missions.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, no, like if the Walking Dead wants to kill someone, they're going to kill them, and you're not going to fucking be able to do anything about it.
They will kill. They will kill anybody.
They will kill absolutely anybody, even somebody that you just met for the first time. They'll feed them to cannibals. You know, like.
I think going back to the Mass Effect 3 comparison, I don't think there's just something with the price point of The Walking Dead that set me up for, I think I lowered that my expectation that I knew they were going to have to carve a very linear story, and I think the story itself is stronger because of that. Mm-hmm. The problem with Mass Effect was that because it was such a big AAA title and had the budget for it, you thought, even though it's almost impossible, you thought they would pull off these really branching endings that felt unique and were all strong. But I don't know if after Mass Effect, I don't know if that's possible now. So like, because of going through that, I never expected that out of The Walking Dead. So it was just like, as long as I felt like, again, I had ownership of my choices, and like, I love the fact that, you know, you have to just react to the situation. There's no clear-cut right or wrong answer. And I played the game without ever second-guessing my decisions. I just knew I had to make them in that moment. Mm-hmm. And that's the strength of the game, because that allowed me to feel ownership of the story. Yeah. And I think that's why it continues to stick with me, especially comparing it to the choices I had to make in Mass Effect.
You know what, though? Like, I think the difference between people getting, you know, just being okay with some linearity, or to, you know, people getting really pissed because they feel like, you know, like they really wanted more choice was, in the case of these two games, maybe just the quality of the writing of the ending. So, you know, Walking Dead,
no, definitely.
It's a lot of emotional impact, all that stuff, just well done. So you go, you know what, maybe, wow, yeah, everybody's going to end up in the same way, in the same place, and that's kind of weird, but it's just so well done, you don't give a damn. Kind of like like you were talking about at the beginning, the story, when you're talking about the gameplay getting shoved aside for amazing story, where in like Mass Effect, it was like the gameplay was so good and the story was pretty good, and then you get to the end and they take away not only all the choices you would have made as a character, but then they just, and they give you this shit story on top of that. And, and just like, you know, I mean, and it was, a lot of it was just like, they could have structured it better and all that, and they fixed some of it in DLC, but they just, you know, if they just executed just better, that would have, people wouldn't have been so pissed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or just like, you know what, spend a couple more bucks and make your three different endings a little more different, even. Like, that would have been another way to do it. But they were just so like, what the hell, color palette change and everything else is the same? This is weird. There was just like, that was, you know, it was just, I don't think it was just, it just wasn't satisfying because it just wasn't well made, that the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think this is like the perfect example of like what was actually wrong with, or what, you know, what would have been acceptable, I guess, for people that play Mass Effect. Which, by the way, did you guys see the trailer for the new DLC for that? It's like this fan service. Like, you have to go and watch that.
Are you going to play it?
Maybe, actually. It looked kind of fun. It looked like a... It looked like a...
Trip down memory lane, right?
Like a YouTube fan film of Mass Effect. It's like, you know, like the really hardcore fan who's like, everyone's alive, and everyone's best friends, and they're on an adventure again, but everything's cool. And then, you know, it's like, oh, Shepard, Anderson's telling Shepard, he's had it rough. He's got to go. He's like, I need you fresh for this final battle. So go get some rest on the Citadel. And he goes there, and then, like, you know, he gets this diehard kind of like situation. And then he's like, got to call my friends. And he's like, bring everyone. And so literally every character that's ever been in your party ever shows up. And it's,
we have to do something.
Yeah. Like, and if you're a Mass Effect fan, you're probably going like, oh, you know, and then there's this scene where it shows all of every character up on this like ledge shooting down at bad guys. They're all like fire machine guns from the hip. Like, in just a big, long row, and it's the most hilarious scene. And there's apparently a ton of romance, because they kept cutting to a lot of hand-holding and smooching and all that. And it's like, man, this sounds like the Mass Effect TV show. You know, like, this is the Adventures of Shepard. Like, this is maybe what
like that
a
Saturday
lot of,
morning cartoon that they did that one time. Yeah. Well, it was funny when that waitress walks up and she goes, Commander Shepard, someone's trying to kill you. And, you know, that's right. Joker's like, oh, don't you think he knows that? And she goes, no, these are new people.
Yeah. You know, it's awesome. Like, it was really, like, it was so self-aware, like, the whole time. Like, I probably will play, especially now talking about it. I realized just how excited I was when I saw that. But anyways.
Man, I need to play Mass Effect. God, I just need to.
Yeah, you should.
I need to. I do. I'm missing out on that.
It's too big and fun to not experience.
Yeah. It's silly not to.
So what was your third game you finished?
Finished Brutal Legend this past weekend, and Justin and I have kind of talked about it a little bit, so we're probably going to segue into this. But man, I cannot put my finger on that game. I have no idea how I finished that up. I mean, you want to talk about Strike Force missions? Holy shit. Brutal Legend was a game full of Strike Force missions, is probably the best way that I can describe it.
Oh, it doesn't get any better.
The whole concept of. I loved. Okay, let me talk about what I liked about it. The setting, great.
The first 3 hours,
it was the hack and slash part of it. Awesome. I loved just loved like the tribute to Rock, and actually Rock Paper Shotgun did a really good review of it. I was actually after reading their review, like I thought about maybe putting some notes down. I just thought no, like they've hit the nail on the head. Like I can't read
reading their reviews
beforehand. It's the same kind of mentality. I thought Jack Black in that. Jack Black. I don't not like Jack Black. He's so, okay, but he can get a little bit too Jack Black. Oh. He was fine in this. He was perfectly fine throughout the whole thing. Like so, I wasn't upset.
I streamed some of this weekend, so I only got to exactly where I quit originally.
Wow, that's the first time,
which is after the first real time strategy battle. But we were kind of talking in chat about, like, I wonder how far did they get along in Brutal Legend with before Jack Black was involved, just because the character of Eddie is just so much Jack Black, and but I kept trying to imagine, like, did they at least have the roadie concept done before and then kind of, you know, tweak the character when Jack Black came on board? But, I mean, he had to have been somewhat creatively involved in the character, at least, or at least the world. But I know, yeah. I mean, obviously, Double Fine has an appreciation for the metal arts, because,
oh my gosh,
man, has
the metal arts. I like it.
I mean, what it comes down to is that there's a distinction between, like, real metal, like true metal, and like fucking everything else. Like, it's awesome, and you know, like, you can pinpoint it, and it's not even like you, like, the game is, I don't know if it's a funny game, there's some funny stuff that happens in it, but I mean, they take their love for rock and roll seriously, but not in like an obtrusive type way, like, not in like a, oh shit, this is too much. But I mean, again, they kind of make fun of emo rock, they make fun of screamo rock, they make fun of hair metal bands.
Hair metal.
And I guess the super satanic bands. But I mean, all of that works out well, and I love the roadie concept. The fact of the matter is, that was just such a genius way of incorporating that sort of character, because you were a roadie the whole fucking time. Like, you did not stop being a roadie.
And here's the thing is, I feel like they got trapped. But there are a ton, by the way, there are a ton of interesting interviews out now with Tim about this game, especially because they've had so much time before. And that's the other thing is, it's really cool that we're getting to play this on PC now. I don't know when or how or why that happened, but that's awesome. And, you know, I kind of hope there's a little bit of resurgence, since Double Fine will get to reap the benefits now. It doesn't look like it's through Electronic Arts. I mean, it says it's published by Double Fine, but yeah. Anyway, so read up on where like some of these decisions were made, and they even addressed head on like why they, you know, they could have gone the God of War route and made it a complete action game, but the whole roadie concept, they built the game around what would a roadie be good at doing, and it's organizing people. So it's like the whole turn into a real-time strategy game makes so much sense.
It absolutely does.
The game becomes a slave to everything fitting together so well that it doesn't succeed on being a fun game, and it, or like the gameplay doesn't ever have a chance to excel because it's fitting into such a well-crafted world, and it's just really interesting that its greatest strengths and the things that I adore about it are also what holds it back.
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot of buggy mechanics, just weird decisions made. But I beat it. I beat it.
About how long is it?
I think it was 10 hours.
Okay.
I kind of did a couple side quests and stuff, and then I realized there's upgrades and stuff you can get, but yeah, I mean, it was one of those things. It was back to back days. Like, I started it one day and I was like, I had to finish it, you know. Yeah. And not in the same way, like, you know, Black Ops was. It was like there was something about it. I was more curious about how the story was going to play out, you know, more than anything. Like, that's what, like, I like the characters. Like, the characters were kind of cool, and so I wanted to see what happened with them. And I was okay with the real time strategy, though. In terms of real time strategy, holy shit, was that just a chore to do. The driving was it's so weird, because like, unlike with Call of Duty, I can say it's a linear game, it's shooting guns, it's simple. Is it bad mechanics? Not necessarily, other than the Strike Force missions, they were weird. But with this game, like, none of it was fun, but I just sat and had to do it. Like, I put down games for less reasons, and I can't pinpoint why this game, for me, it was important for me to get to the conclusion. Like, it just...
Was it your appreciation for the metal arts?
I forgot how much I liked metal. Like, I did, and I was like, man, like, I'm feeling... Because here in Germany, it's all, like techno and pop and, like, all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't remember the last time I heard metal in, like, the natural world. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been a really long time.
Well, you should drive around with me in my car this week, because I keep listening to the Brutal Legend soundtrack, and somebody made a Spotify playlist with every song from the game on it, and
it's
awesome.
If you pre-ordered it, you got that soundtrack, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, I believe I do. Oh, sweet shit. I
look in the, look in the extras.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
well, there's the soundtrack, and then there's, like, the soundtrack. There's
like the big...
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is the fact that they have so many actual metal bands on the soundtrack as you're driving around, it kind of makes you lose focus on the fact that the actual original soundtrack for the game that's going on in between everything is actually really well done too. Like it's some good, there's some good metal in there that was made just for the game versus you know, driving around in Motorhead, which is awesome in itself. So
yeah. So
what are your favorite, some of your favorite characters, or what, who stands out?
I mean, I loved Lars. Lars to me was like, if I could be anything, it would be a Nordic, long-haired, blonde man, very muscular, but very like leader type, and like he was a cool character. Like I got pumped up with that. But again, Jack Black's character was great. Like it just fit so well. Ophelia, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that kind of like what they did with the whole broken heart and then into the emo kind of situation. Like I was like, oh my god, like that. Like it was subtle, but. I mean, maybe it wasn't so subtle. I don't know, but I was like, "Oh fuck!" Like that's I know so many people from high school that they didn't, you know, like raise, you know, the dead after that happened, you know. But it was like it was. I mean, there was very few characters I didn't like, you know.
Hold
on,
sorry, I forgot that Jennifer Hale did Ophelia's voice. Like
I
confirmed that, but yeah, Femme Shep, it's Ophelia.
I mean, it seemed like there was a huge cast. I mean, there was was Rob Halford in it.
Mm-hmm. Ozzy's in it.
Ozzy's in it. Ozzy's character is
awesome.
Oh fuck, man! I love Ozzy. Oh, I love Ozzy.
I wanted to play this game, like when it came out, and it didn't happen for whatever reason. But the thing that really puts me off the most is like the strategy parts. Like I really would just rather play it as like a hack slash. But how much of the game? Like, give me a percentage. How much of the game is that?
Sounds like a third.
It's a solid third.
But not...
And a solid third in the sense that it could be a... I mean, if...
Okay.
Speaking of Strike Force in terms of how, like, that stopped, you know, Justin's kind of progress there, it has the potential to stop your progress.
Because you didn't make it sound fun. It was almost like you made it... I thought it sounded like a slog to you.
It was a slog.
It would be for me, too.
And why I slogged through it, I don't know, but... I mean, the very first strategy mission, I drove off, and so it canceled me out.
But wait a minute. Are you playing it from, like, a top-down perspective, or are you actually...
You are Jack Black.
You still control him even during those sections?
You control him, but you run around, and you can target things and whatnot, because I played it with the Xbox controller. But then eventually you get devil wings, and then you can fly up above everybody and guide everybody. But it never feels connected. It just feels like, yeah, it's really weird.
Isn't the basics of it that you have a command to come here, stop, or go over there, and those are the only three?
Yeah.
'Cause they were saying, like, if they had gone all out, like, if they made it for PC and gave it some actual true depth to the real-time strategy controls, that could kind of fix it, but because it was console focused and gamepad focused, that it kind of limited some of their choices too. So it was just like all of these things that could have made some of the gameplay segments great were hamstrung by something. And it goes down as one of the most interesting games for me, just as far as, at the same time, it has so much polish. I mean, you can see where all of Activision's money went, because the world itself is so so well done and cohesive, yet you don't get to do much with it. So it's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. I will say it is. If somebody were to ask me, do you recommend it? I would really sleep on that. I think this game and Resident Evil Raccoon City are two games for completely different reasons that are like, I loved them, but in terms of recommending to somebody, it would have to be the perfect person. You know what I'm saying? Like, it has to be the right person. And I don't know who that person is because I can't tell you what possesses.
You're going to need a personality profile before you can.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Make the recommendation.
But the $20 price point now, does that make it any easier? I would still give them the caveats.
I know it does for me. Like, I'm actually considering it. If it came out and it was $50, I would skip it for sure. Now it's cheaper, so I'm going, maybe I should actually play this.
Yeah, because, I mean, the price point's perfect right now. I mean, it feels like that, you know.
It's a hell of a $20 game.
It really is.
The soundtrack's worth $20.
Yeah, I was going to say that in and of itself.
Well, I'm glad you played it.
Yeah.
So you could tell me about it.
I'm glad I know someone that finished it. Well, I guess I think Aaron finished it too on our site. But I wonder if I'll go back to it after I was like, I'm literally at the exact place I quit.
Yeah.
Do I fix this? And it doesn't. You're not giving me any motivation to do that. I'm like, well,
yeah. I know,
is
man.
It like as far as story beats go? Are there some highs that like would carry me? I mean,
yeah.
I feel like. I've only barely met Tim Curry's character, and I love Tim Curry, and he kind of like the overarching demon in the story, so and I kind of just want to see that stuff. But
is there any FMV of him in this?
No.
Suddenly the game changes halfway through, and it's a complete FMV game. It's like Mad Dog McCree. Like, it's fucking perfect.
Like, really compressed Bink video. So, speaking of $20 games, Castlevania, Justin. Playing that, or actually, I don't think that's actually $20, but it was the closest thing I get for a segue. You did you buy mirrors? Is there just one mirror?
It's one mirror, one mirror to multiple lords. So it's Lords of Shadow - Mirror of Fate.
Lord of Shadow, Mirrors of Fates.
Now you're confused. Stop it.
Lord of the Shadow.
I'm looking for a man in the mirror. Oh well.
But you got a Belmont.
Yes, you get Trevor and Simon. So I played the demo last week for Mirror of Fate, which just came out today. And because I played that demo, I bought the game. I was really nervous about it because Lords of Shadow is an acquired taste. I don't know if it requires any Castlevania background to love or hate this. Like, it really does. It really just kind of feels like it's its own thing. And while traditionally 2D Castlevanias are a known quantity, and something I own every GBA DS version of these, love the 2D games, but I didn't know what Mercury Steam was going to do with Mirror of Fate. Mm-hmm. And for better or for worse, I really like Lords of Shadow, but I felt like it could even break down in a 2D game. And it's fine. It's more Lords of Shadow. I attribute that to how the combat feels. It's much more deliberate than Castlevania games. I think I pinpointed it with the lack of fodder enemies. Like, you can't just like run through a section full of skeletons and crack your whip and kill them in one hit. You've got to take your time with each enemy. So once you kind of adapt to the combat and then realize this is a polygonal 2D game, and so the platform is going to be a little bit floatier. And then once you kind of accept that and play it for what it is, I thought it was pretty enjoyable. It looks like it's got enough exploration to keep me entertained. It has the Castlevania map, and it has, you know, areas that look to be unlockable by finding new skills and plenty of exploration, and it takes place in a castle, which you can't really say that about. It took forever to get to a castle in Lords of Shadow. So I was excited enough to at least buy the game. I haven't gotten to play the full version, but the demo is pretty short. It's only, 15 to 30 minutes, unless you die on the first boss 9 times like I did. So it's kind of difficult.
So it sounds like everything but the combat is a traditional Castlevania game.
It's inspired by a traditional Castlevania game. I can't tell the depths that they went with it, because it would not surprise me if it's not as big as some of the other 2D Castlevania games. But there's enough there that it was worth me at least trying it some more.
It's really weird, though. You know,
it is.
That is. As soon as I saw the combat in action in the latest videos and stuff, I knew I'm not going to be happy with this. Even if it's a good game, I know I will not be happy with it. There's no way, because I want a certain game.
Do not play it as you want more of the 2D Castlevania experiences you're used to. Yeah. Play it as if you want another Lords of Shadow game.
Well, if they want me to do that, then they shouldn't put in those elements like the map and the backtracking and the all that stuff.
Well,
are there sub-weapons? Do they have like holy water and stuff? Man, see that?
I have a boomerang. I had a boomerang in the demo.
Candles? Hearts?
Nope, no candles. No hearts. There are breakable items that give you ammo for your sub-weapons. But
turkeys
that's,
in the
I
wall?
Mean, but that's what I mean. That's like...
No turkeys.
No wall turkeys. Hmm. I mean, that's... The whole thing is Lords of Shadow has been inspired, but not like exact copies of stuff. Like, you don't see any exact details other than this is Trevor Belmont, and there's in Dracula that are exactly Castlevania, but you see where their ideas spun off from. Like... They're not going to put a wall turkey in there, but they're going to, I don't know, they're going to find...
is it the fan service that they focus on the most?
Like, they didn't want it. That's what I mean. They didn't want to do fan service with it.
Yeah.
And those are just, if you're going to fight that, you're not going to like any of these games. And I fought it for a long time to the point where I put that first game down for so long and had to go back to it.
But, wait a minute. Wait, no. It's one thing, like, I am actually okay with the Lords of Shadow.
Yeah.
As a 3D action game. I'm totally okay with that. But trying to do like this bastard 2D thing, like that's different. That's different. You're basically going onto sacred ground and you're pulling down your drawers and you're going and you're taking a big dump and you're saying like, "Hey, I know this looks like shit on the wonderful Castlevania sacred ground, but I swear to God, it's made out of chocolate mousse. You got to eat it. It's really good." Even if it is good, I'm not eating it off of that place. Like, that's a sacred place. You don't go there. You don't defile that.
I completely understand and respect that.
Okay.
But I like Lords of Shadow enough that I want it a little bit more. And I don't know when Lords of Shadow 2 is actually going to happen. So I'll take this dose. And I feel like I'm in the right mindset to play it. Like, I could have been really frustrated. I honestly would not have bought this game without trying the demo, if that makes sense. Like, I wanted to, like, am I sure I'm going to be into this? Would I prefer a regular 2D Castlevania game? Absolutely. But this is also a game that I'll play. I'm not necessarily playing it as a Castlevania game, but this is a 3DS game that I want to play.
Well, I'm sure on the next show you'll be talking about the full game, and hopefully we'll get a report on Alucard. Exactly what his involvement is in the game, because I know he's a playable character. We know that,
but and Simon's in it too. So I don't know. I've honestly been ignoring the whole story side of it. So, be really curious to see how that goes. Then I also did some streaming of Dead Space 3. Put in a few more hours of that, and I'm still I'm still playing Dead Space right now, so that's fun.
I really enjoyed watching that. That was really fun. Now I'm a ways off from playing it still, because I've just told myself I am not touching 3 until I finish 1 and 2. And Ethan really motivated me at the beginning of the year. I'm gonna finish my shit. It's like clean the plate. So just seeing though that after all this stupid crazy trailers and all that stuff, that like, at least as far as you're in right now, I mean, it's playing single player, it looks just like a Dead Space game. Like, so if you wanted more of the same, like, congratulations, you're a winner.
Yeah, I think everything I've read, the first half is still that. Like, it's supposedly like a 20-hour game, or pretty beefy, especially if you do the side missions, and you know, if you want 10 hours of more Dead Space, you should be fine. But it sounds like the rest of the game is like, do you want to finish Isaac's story? Is kind of the summary I've heard. So, because I think it does turn into more of an action game in the second half, but the first half is all derelict ships and you know, plenty of jump scares and plenty of just feeling completely surrounded and useless and sprinting into dangerous traps that are really obvious, but I don't recognize in the moment. We had some fun with, gosh, I don't know if like, was a ship taking off? Like, how did I keep getting set on fire? I don't remember what was actually
going on.
Yeah,
I'm not sure, yeah.
It was like engines were firing, and I just kept running into these
Yeah, there were like these metal grates on the floor, and there was like flames coming up through. Oh, no, there was a couple from the side, too. There was flames everywhere in that level.
Yeah.
It was
just running straight into it. I didn't care because it was being changed.
There was a moment where I'm going like, who designed this ship? Like, what in the hell is going on? Why are there flames shooting? Like, you, a worker, like, you would call OSHA, like, as soon as you got that job, first day of training, you would go, no way I'm doing this.
That's why it's derelict. I mean, everyone's like, fuck this, we're out. Like,
yeah,
we're
they, out. Just got they just went on strike. It wasn't because of the necromorphs.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with that. That sounds like a great game. What if they like the spinoff of Dead Space, because rumors are that, you know, there might not be a Dead Space 4, though that's still, those are rumors. What if the next one is a management game where instead of fighting necromorphs, you're just trying to keep the workers happy in a flame-filled fucking death trap of shit.
It's a game that analyzes the positives and negatives of workforce unions.
You played by yourself, didn't you?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna.
Okay.
So do you have any interest in going double team?
Not till after I beat it, if I like it enough.
See, yeah, okay. Now, and
what
I,
helps,
and
what
I
helps
do.
Me, though, sorry, is that they introduced the co-op guy, Carver, and he's just a dick. I was like, I don't want to partner with you. So,
wait, is he a dick or a dud?
I think, well, he starts off as a dick. So he's just like, okay. He doesn't like you. You don't like him. So,
oh, because I was getting the impression he was a dud. He was just kind of like a very shallow character.
Yeah, I think that probably too. But
but he's a dick as well. So it makes it even worse. I mean, you don't want to be. Yeah,
I don't want to be around
him. And you're an asshole.
I don't trust you to like have my back.
Well, when you're playing online as co-op. And the other player has their headset on, they're probably going to be a dick. So they got to assume like, well, so when you're just playing single player, when he shows up, we'll try to keep it so he stays in character if you do go online. Makes sense. I want to see more, so if we knew for sure that, say, another hour past where you are right now, Justin, that it was going to stay like dead spacey, like that would be kind of cool to now throw the second player in and just see if it completely ruins the game for you. Cause I think it would for you. Like, I do not think you would enjoy this. So, I feel like I'm going to get to the point if I finish one and two kind of soon and then I impulse buy three or something and neglect my wallet, I might just be ready for co-op, I guess, you know, cause like how many jump scares do I need?
Yeah.
I might get my fill.
Yeah.
Well, I've also been playing it in kind of short 2 to 3 hour bursts. I haven't done like a huge marathon set. I mean, I beat Dead Space 1 and 2 like both in a weekend. Like I just marathon through them because I just want to be totally absorbed in it. And I haven't been playing that this way. I've just been getting my kind of fix of Dead Space. So that's been good. So I really don't have anything negative to say about the game other than I didn't like the intro. So,
hey, the guys in the chat are talking about the piss meter. Can we address this here?
Because, no, we have not.
Because
piss meter.
So
you kind of call it out. Go ahead.
On Isaac's, the main character's back, to represent his health, he's got this like tube that runs up and down his back, and it's got like some kind of blue glowy juice in it. But every time Justin this is probably the same way in Dead Space 1 and 2, I just never noticed it, but he would get into combat and things would get crazy, but I'm watching a stream and it's kind of dark and I couldn't actually see him. I didn't see like him getting hit, so I didn't get the instant reaction thing. I just look and he's visual, like I'm looking at his face and he's really scared and I see the tube just turns yellow. Now, it's supposed to represent damage, right? obviously. But man, it looks like he just pissed inside his suit every time. And then we get really low, it turned brown. I'm like, oh my God, he's so scared.
Oh shit.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. Oh, it makes sense now.
Yeah.
That's how you get damaged. The necromorphs don't damage you. It's the acidic nature of the pee on your suit.
Do not. Yeah.
All right. Pee's a base, isn't it?
Yeah.
Base. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, it's not good for the suit.
Yeah.
Did you ever pee your pants actually while playing?
No, I've not peed my pants. I jumped a number of times.
Yeah.
And then like so. I cut a highlight of this particular part, but the exploders, the necromorphs, they basically carry on this like glowing sack of explosive material.
All those ones that kind of try to hammer you with it sometimes.
They had the worst scream in the game, and there was just
they're so bad. It's like the dumbest. It is the dumbest sound, like a recorded voice sound in a game I've ever heard.
Do it. Do it.
I can't. I can't. I'm not. I can't.
It's me. It's not
Rocky Road. Isaac, friend. That's. That's Dead Space 3.
So it's not really an action-packed game. That's not how the atmosphere was ruined. It was just like they just kind of like, you know, save some money on the audio. It was like, I've got a 13-year-old nephew that could he's great. You know, kind of like, you know, those dads that try to introduce their kids or you know, their family members into like the business. And like, you know, that kid's not good, but he's got an uncle. So we'll see what he's doing. He just sits there and, is this right, uncle?
I mean, honestly, usually they travel in pairs or they're solo. Like, they'll just be, like, you'll be attacked by a bunch of other necromorphs, but there'll be one in there. And they always, like, when they're by themselves, they scare the hell out of me because they're so loud and they always sound like they're right behind you. And they explode, which it really screws you over. Yeah. But, like, this certain section when I was trying to, like, solve a puzzle to get across a bridge or whatever, there are just so many around me, and I kept moving around and they were following me and through the vents, and like it got comical the way that they were screaming, and
I was laughing so hard.
The tension, because up to that point I was really, you know, into Dead Space, but it just got so silly. It was awesome. But I was just trying to imagine that sound booth session of there was probably people reenacting just what we did. There's a ton of unused audio.
I want to see that so bad.
I would
see the behind the scenes video of the people doing that so fucking bad.
That's the collector's edition stuff I want.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to push through that, but there's a lot of new games coming out this month too. But
how much money have you spent on microtransactions?
Zero. The crafting's okay.
Is that something that people blew out of proportion a little bit? Yeah. I kind of got the impression. Okay, yeah. That's what I thought. It's like, you know, it looks like they did enough to make the game like playable without them, and people just, as soon as you say microtransactions, that's where they got the sound effect from. People being upset about microtransactions.
Oh man!
It was during It was during the focused groups.
Oh my god!
That would be so brilliant. That would be like, oh man!
That was before they scaled it back, and during the focus testing, they just had the player sitting there, and they would go up and just to like do it, just to open up the crafting table. It was like, put in a dollar.
I don't know. People, yeah, they just have. I mean, they just have a gut reaction to spending $60 on a game and then having additional costs worked into it that you don't have to do. But we've embraced DLC. It's kind of those things that like, do you want to invest time or money into this? Like, mm-hmm. Here's a shortcut if you want to spend the money on it. And
just like real life.
But the other thing is they cut multiplayer from this. That's where this came from. Was, you know. That was, I'm sure EA kind of made that concession of, okay, how are you going to you're cutting this out, which would have got us X number of dollars. How are you going to work that back in the game? And this is the thing they tried, because microtransactions worked with Mass Effect 3, so I don't know. That never affected me, so yeah. I don't care. They haven't crossed that line yet, so... I kind of want
a game to do that at some point. And
cross just, the line?
And just be so good, like so amazing that everyone bitches about it, but everyone does it and everyone buys it, and then like, because that's the only way it would stop. Because like you gotta assume at some point, like if the market supports it, they will do it, right? I mean, that's the idea. So, and I don't think anyone's found out yet if that's the case, because the idea is just kind of new. Once it settles in, mm-hmm. and then people start doing this, so like, just give me a game that's just so gross, just so like you can't do anything without putting a dollar in, and just like constantly and make it like 10 cents or something, like really really small, where it's just like but it adds up. It's like you want to do anything, like you want to reload your gun.
You have to do it a lot.
Yes, like, constantly you're hitting it.
You can't buy in bulk,
and it's bound to a button on the controller. Just boop, boop, boop. Just put money in.
No.
The is Durango so gross.
Controller, instead of having a share button, it has a microtransaction.
Yeah, that's it. MS points. Just, yeah. It's got a credit card slot on it, like a card swiper. And you just whoop.
And Major Nelson's face pops up in the corner of your screen, kind of like the toasty, and he just, thank you.
But just like just go so gross, and then have it be like really successful, and then everyone else will try to copy it, and they will all fail. You know, and that's
what are we advocating again?
I don't know.
Failure.
I just really want that to happen so I can just laugh at it, actually. But whatever.
Let's see. Brutal Legend took up a lot of my time, so I played a few smaller sessions. I gave Little Inferno a try for the first time. And this is just a little puzzle game. It's on the Wii U, on PC, might be on other stuff, but it is essentially a game for pyromaniacs. It has a really funny story around it, because you don't like realize that the entire premise of the game is you have a fireplace and you get a letter from somebody telling you to buy stuff, and you get a letter from your gift is this fireplace, and then you set the letter on fire. And then you get notification that you can buy stuff in this catalog that'll deliver other items to set on fire in your fireplace. And you just set everything on fire, try to find different combinations of things to set on fire to unlock metals, to unlock new catalogs. And it is a really bizarre game to play by yourself. Like, I think... It has a certain level of entertainment, like if you're in a group setting and you're just trying to see what it's like to burn all these different things, which, you know, I'm relating all of this to, like, hanging out with my buddies that grew up on farms and, like, what we used to do to pass time in the summer.
You know, sure.
Burn things, make a campfire, make a bonfire, play with gunpowder, you know, all the safe
stuff. Mix gasoline and styrofoam in the back of a Tonka dump truck and burn it.
And this game and taps
push it towards into G.I. Joes.
It taps into whatever, you know, whatever pleasure centers in your brain like that sort of thing. And
well, if you're a sociopath, there's a very
hey, I'm with you, Justin. Obviously,
but like I said, it's
you guys kill animals and wet your beds, because if so, you got the three fucking
oh whoops
serial killer. Oh damn it!
But it's one thing again to play this in a group, and then I realized I was playing this by myself for like an hour and being way too amused by it, because I was just waiting for the next stuffed animal to unlock that made a funny noise when it was set on fire. And there are just some creepy things to this game. Weird. And then like the story kind of like hints at that the world is like post-nuclear fallout, or you're like contributing to all this pollution that is actually destroying the world in the background. And it's kind of twisted, but you know, it's, you know, a nice little distraction game to play. So, I mean, you can't play it for a long periods of time, but it was pretty funny while I gave it a shot. So, Little Inferno.
Hey, can you talk about Firefall?
Yeah, so I gave that another run. I played it for a few more hours. They had a big public beta weekend a couple weeks ago, and I it had been probably 3 or 4 months since I last played it, and they've changed the whole intro missions all over again. So it's a little bit easier to get into. I was kind of lost, honestly, the first time I played the game. And
give us the back of the box for this game, because this is some one of those kind of generic names that people might not know what we're talking about.
Firefall is, I believe, some of the original World of Warcraft team is actually working on this game. So it's an MMO, third-person shooter, third-person slash first-person shooter. You can switch your guy, your camera angle, and everybody has like their own like kind of power suit and different classes, and you have to collect resources on this kind of tropical island world full of insects. Those are the only things I've killed, and the mission structures are pretty dynamic. I mean, I've just been going through the training tutorial stuff. It showed me how to basically go out into the open world and find an area where you know minerals are, and use this tool to basically calls in some satellite drill from space that crashes down in front of you, and you essentially have to defend it for 2 to 3 minutes while enemies are attracted to it, while it's mining and collecting new resources, which you sell to upgrade and unlock new stuff. And then all the while, there's other players running around, and you're helping people defend their stuff while you're defending yours. And then after you get through that first mission, it enables like all the kind of randomly generated missions to show up on your map as kind of a waypoint, and you can just go take care of those kind of event-type missions to level up and upgrade. And when you get enough upgrades, you can go to new areas, and I'm sure the story continues from there. But through the first 2 hours, I basically just did the kind of opening tutorial mission and then knocked out 3 or 4 of the event missions, which were very similar to reminded me of Guild Wars 2, of just natural evolving quests rather than going to a quest giver. They're just on your map at all times, and you just go to an area and something is happening, whether you're defending an area or investigating something or collecting items. But it also, so it's very MMO-ish, but this is all with, you know, space guns, and you feel like you have
a box. I don't think all that would fit on the back of the box.
Is it? Did you ever play Global Agenda? Why does it sound like Global Agenda?
Oh, yeah, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of got kind of that feel to it, yeah. But it's got kind of like a like cartoony type graphics to it.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that. I keep going into it expecting it's like World of Warcraft and Borderlands 2 like combined. Like it's
like fucked. Like they fucked.
Yeah. So it's got more toonish, but it's still stylized. But it looks nice, and they've been working on this game forever. It's been in beta forever. So I'm more curious to see what the final product actually ends up being.
It's been at PAX forever. It would be,
what's that?
I said it's been at PAX forever. They always have those gigantic booths.
But I think it'd be fun with a group of friends, but I don't know why that group of friends wouldn't necessarily go play PlanetSide 2 or something with a little bit more. Like, it's so in between. Like, if I want MMO stuff, the guns still feel weird to me. Like,
yeah.
I would rather, I either want action or I want MMO, and this kind of tries to walk that line, and I don't know if that makes it like appealing enough. Like that's, it's just
that was my issue with Global Agenda. I remember I was having that weird feeling, and then also my hesitation with Defiance, which is another game that kind of is trying to do that shooter MMO type deal, though it looks like that one's got a little bit more co-op to it.
Yeah,
but it sounds like this one does too. I mean, it has missions. I thought Firefall was a competitive multiplayer.
Yeah, me
shooter.
Too.
I had no idea we had. I knew there was like some MMO aspects of it, but from what I've read, which is not as much as obviously you know you guys have, but it looked like it was. Just, I was like, which is why I was kind of like, why are people excited about it? Because it didn't look all that enticing. But then when you mention, you know, the love child that this could possibly be, it kind of sounds neat. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
it's definitely neat. And I'm sure, I think...
It's neat.
Neat became an insult on this. You realize that, don't you? Like, when we say something's neat, for the most part, we don't, like, we think it, like, that's kind of a, sorry, guys.
It is definitely a slight.
Yeah.
It, I know it's got PvP and then kind of the group kind of raid PvE missions as well, and I'm sure, like, that's all I heard about initially, so I'm sure those are pretty fun, too. But so far, I've only played, like, I haven't even grouped up with people. They were around, and I helped, like, we were helping each other, but no one was talking. It's one of those awkward MMO moments where we're all in this area, and, like, okay, I figure I don't have to say that I'm going to help you defend your thing, and you, so you stick around and help me defend my thing, and then we'll go our separate ways. So that was the extent of my social interactions in Firefall so far. So,
yeah, I kind of want to try it, but Ethan brought up the game that is very similar looking that I'm actually a little more excited to play, and that's Defiance. And not because of the TV tie-in stuff, but I am.
That's the only reason I'm excited about it. It has nothing to do with the. Love TV tie-ins that work so well.
Yeah, those are great. is Robert Patrick in this one?
Yes, he plays every character. Yeah. It's kind of like a Big Mama's House. What is it? Yeah, not Big Mama's House.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Family. Yes.
Yeah.
but yeah, I watched a developer stream the other day on that one. And it looked like, I mean, it's like a little buggy, but like stuff that could be fixed. And it actually looked kind of fun. I thought it looked kind of fun. It was very Borderlands like. It seemed like in its structure, and its mission structure and stuff. And like all the co-op stuff looked really fun. And then when they got into PvP, it was, you know, like what you'd expect. But I'd kind of be more interested in the co-op stuff. But it's kind of cool that, like, you're running around as a co-op team already, and then you can say, hey, let's take on another team. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I kind of worry that, well, I'm not really invested, but kind of think that Firefall might have missed its window, too, with as long as it's been in development. Like, I just, like I said, it seems to be polished, but I don't know what it's like.
I don't know, free-to-play, it's pretty hot right now.
Yeah, I guess.
There's a lot of shooters now, too, coming out. So.
Yeah, I keep looking for what separates all these games, and it doesn't have that big, like, it might be separated from its, like, breadth and polished content rather than, like, a, you know, a really unique standout feature. So
it does have that one thing, like, that what do they call that, the big bubble in Firefall that's always kind of like creeping out. It's where all the bad things come from. It's like that big, it's a giant energy bubble of death, like, and you actually, I saw some guys doing like a big 25-man like raid mission, and they went and, they activated this device and it pushed the bubble back, like in the world, back, like, you know, a quarter of a mile or something. And they had to go into that area and then fight like a big boss and stuff. But the device was only had enough power to push it back for so long. And if you didn't get out of there within like the 5 minutes, then you would die on the inside of there. And this, but it was just kind of cool seeing it like recede and then come back. That was kind of cool.
It's a dangerous fog of war.
Yeah. Yes. So
that's pretty much it though for me.
All right, cool. Speaking of MMOs, I picked up Guild Wars 2, which I know if you listened to what I had to say about that before, you're probably like, what? I'm an idiot.
That's how I was in chat when you asked me what server I was on.
I had I had hot coupons and I had credit, so I ended up getting it for like $10. Okay. So I was just having kind of a hankering. I don't know.
It's a hell of a free to play game.
And yeah, exactly. I thought like, well, no monthly fee, whatever. And I was getting it felt a lot like the Guild Wars 1 that I remember in a really good way. Mm-hmm. Which, and maybe I'm just so far removed from that. Like, just, I was really getting the vibes. It is the art direction in that game is some of the best out, like, of a modern game right now. It constantly just it looks gorgeous, but it's also like everything in the world just looks like I constantly see stuff that I'm going, wow, they didn't have to do that. But I'm glad they did, you know, just like stuff in the distance. I'm not sure if I'll ever even go there, or just like that real big city that you start out by exploring that thing. It is huge. I remember going into like World of Warcraft, if you're like humans and dwarves and stuff, what's that big city you start out with there? Like the gigantic castle on the mountain.
You.
It's like a big castle on the mountain. Whatever.
Dumbledore,
you know,
Stormwind?
Yeah, Stormwind. Thank you. So, I remember going into that and thinking like, oh, this is really big, but you can't really see any of it. And then, so this, city is like, it's like open, first of all, to the sky, but it's super tall. It's super huge and you can go anywhere inside of it or on top of it. And there's just nooks and crannies everywhere. It's really cool. So I am really enjoying, I'm really enjoying all the way the quest structure is, like how easy it is to get around and jump right into, like any sort of like little event, you know, which is like, I remember Warhammer Online doing this pretty well, but it was just only some of their quests were like this, like the public quest thing. And like almost everything in Guild Wars, you just stumble upon. And I like the idea. And you talked about this back at launch of the, why you really liked exploring. And these are the reasons why, because I see it. You know, there's stuff to do. You just run into random stuff to do. And that's pretty cool. The combat is, it's an MMO. You know, and, but it is like the animations make it feel just a little, just a step above your average click one, click two, click three. And so I'm not completely opposed to continuing to play this game because of that. So, I'm enjoying it and I would like some people to play with.
Okay.
That's the only problem.
I was convinced like that you were going to try it once and move on. So what race, what class, what are you doing?
Human warrior. Pretty bog standard.
Vanilla.
You know, that was the thing. Well, and I was going to save Mr. Dave maybe for a stream. Because
I would hang out with Mr. Dave. You want me to make
I can
Frank?
Make Mr. Dave.
I'll be Frank
and Dave. Yeah, Frank and Dave would be cool.
Frank could be a Norn.
So I made just like a Well,
what's a Norn?
Norns
like
don't
the
get
giant Viking people.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Frank could. Yeah.
Oh shit! Is there any way? Oh, you know what, man?
It's like we may have
a Brotabulous. maybe Chainsaw Murphy could find himself a race. I don't know what race that would be, but
he could be the little elf people. I forget the names of those.
No, Chainsaw Murphy's a stout guy, man. He's like
he's beefy.
That's why it'd be
he's
funny.
Got
tall,
the beef.
Thin, kind of Weasley guy. Looks kind of like a meth head, actually. He's kind of like the meth head of the gaming. Wow.
Chainsaw's got guns.
He's got some guns. Bad teeth, but good guns.
Yeah.
Can we make this happen?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
I'm in.
Do you have the game?
Anybody else from chat want to join us? We'll get you the info.
Yeah, I mean, let's do this.
And the fictional character, because I have a list of them. Like, I have a ton of fictional characters.
You have to play one of these characters, though. Do not bring your own. You do not get. Will
dude, you're going to need to come up with, like, character descriptions and rules if we're going to do this.
Trust me.
Yeah.
They've been in development for a while.
If you need to leave the podcast and start writing, you're excused.
Wait, am I kicked off the podcast?
Hey, see ya. Thanks for joining us. okay, see you guys. Yeah, so, yeah, and Verdine in chat here was just, saying something about I didn't run into a boss where I had to use the dodge. I have been using the dodge constantly. I'm going downstairs, I dodge forward. I'm strafing around a ostrich or whatever the moas, the birds, I'll roll side to side and stab it. I'm constantly dodging. If you give me the ability to do a roll in a game, I will do it constantly. Same thing with jumping. So I'm jumping and rolling. That is how I traverse the roads, the world itself. So doing a lot of that. It is kind of nice to have an active dodge, though, that you actually can, you know, if you get out of the way of an attack, it doesn't hit you. If the sword wouldn't have hit you, it doesn't hit you. Same thing when I'm using like wide swing attack. If the wide swing would have hit the enemies in front of me, it actually hits them. So it's not just a dice roll in the background, which is cool. So yeah, Guild Wars.
I'm excited that you like the game.
Yeah,
I would have lost a bet to myself.
It's cool. I played some Tomb Raider.
What were the stakes? What were the stakes of that bet?
It's actually kind of personal. I shouldn't discuss it.
Ooh, were you gonna do something with your
shave the
all
the
of my
vittles.
Bets involve Yeah, bodily injury.
Oh, is it? So you gotta cut your penis off. Was that it? Was that the bet?
Yeah.
That's what I imagine everyone's self like bets are. It was very extreme, very gruesome.
That's why women don't bet.
Yeah.
Keep the jars handy.
Yeah.
Where did we just go?
So, Tomb Raider.
I'm sorry.
Let's talk about Tomb Raider.
Okay.
And you guys played this?
I'm playing it as soon as possible, but no.
I want to hear you talk about it, and I want to smell your breath afterwards.
So I've also been doing it. Aside from that gruesome animated GIF that came out of Conan's review,
Oh my god.
Basically doing media blackout to this game after I saw it's getting good enough reviews that I know it's not broken and worth playing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what have you done with it?
And let me just say, if you're playing it on the PC and you have an NVIDIA graphics card, just get the latest drivers and turn off the Tress FX feature.
Tress?
Yeah, it's I don't know. I think it's like an AMD thing. I think they're trying to do a PhysX kind of thing. I don't know a lot about it. I haven't read about it. So I don't know. But it makes your hair real greasy and floppy.
Yeah,
it actually looks worse. Like, it looks really bad. But anyway, and then you shouldn't have any crashes and shitty performance. So it's Uncharted like you've heard probably. But it's half the time the game almost feels like a horror game. Like it's just it's really kind of disturbing, messed up. Kind of, almost,
What did you do wrong? It's beating you up.
So the basic setup, like the very beginning cutscene is, Laura's like not, she's not the complete badass that she was, you know, when she started like in the old game. So she does not like run around with dual pistols and, she goes on adventures and stuff and she's like an archaeologist and, you know, so she likes to do the fun stuff, but she never really, I don't think, really gets into a whole lot of danger. So in this, you're on this boat and you're looking for this, this lost city. You know, it's the normal setup from these kinds of games. It must be in the middle of this storm. And Laura's got this theory that the guy who's like in charge of the mission or whatever is, he's really opposed to it, but the captain of this boat was like, I'm with her. She's got a different plan. We've just been going in circles. So you go into the storm tears the boat apart, get shipwrecked. Everyone's shipwrecked. That's the idea. And Laura gets separated early on. Laura?
I think it is Lara. Somebody made a good point about that.
Lara? Lara.
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 Lara. Lara? Lara? Leonda?
Judy.
It's Judy.
Ms. Croft.
Deborah?
The protagonist.
Nathan.
Nathan Croft.
Mrs. Drake.
Lara. I'm going with Lara.
I know what it's spelled. I don't know how to pronounce the damn thing. Yeah. So you go around this island doing Indiana Jones, Nathan Drake stuff. You're not just like raiding tombs a whole lot, but there's a lot of those elements of traversing the like vertical terrain by grabbing on ledges and shimmying and climbing and all that. So you're gonna feel like at home with all that kind of stuff, and it controls really well. I never like screwed up. It felt always felt very natural. A lot of like environmental puzzle stuff, but man, I was getting a real Batman vibe in some of these levels. Because you get these big sections, these big areas, and there's so many doodads. There are so many collectibles, different kinds of collectibles, hidden all over the place. And you need to, certain things you need, like, certain item to get to, you know, to open a certain kind of chest or to go through certain walls and stuff like that, or doors. But, for the most part, it's just, like, climbing up stuff you maybe think you're not supposed to, but there's so many of them, it's crazy. And in each level there's hidden like a little map, a treasure map, so it'll actually mark all that stuff for you. But holy crap, there's a lot of that stuff. So if you're into that, if you like collectibles and you got to collect them all And the game makes it very easy to do that. Anytime you can fast travel between all the levels you've been in, and you can go back and recollect stuff. But if you like that, you're going to love this. So, Riddler trophies.
I love collecting.
Yeah. The combat stuff is pretty cool. It's pretty, so it gets nasty at times. I mean, like all the violence stuff that you heard about, it's true. It gets some pretty awful deaths. Every time I died, it was awful. Like getting crushed by a boulder in this one scene, and it was this is before I hooked up my gamepad, and I was playing with the keyboard, and I couldn't see. It didn't say what button I needed to hit. It just had a symbol, and I thought I just knew it was left click, because I would hit the button and it would like go off. But it was just like if you hit any button, it does that. And I just thought my timing sucked. And I redid this like one scene like 8 times. And this boulder, when it crushes her, the camera's right on her face. Her head is like half the screen, and the boulder is the other half, and it just rolls in like. And it doesn't like her brains don't spill out. It like stops like right there, but it's crunchy and awful, and she gets impaled by stuff, like gets shot right in the forehead or the throat or something with an arrow, and then she goes down like it's awful. Like you're like I would need to try harder because I don't want to see that again. Go ahead.
I appreciate that stuff in Dead Space and it kind of fits the game. I'm still confused as to why they decided to put that into Tomb Raider. It could be gritty without that, right?
That Conan was brutal, man. That scene, yeah. I don't like Dead Space. You get killed so much worse, but that, I don't know, man. I don't think this is sexist at all, but it's tough for me to see a pretty lady die. It's just tough. It's tough to see that. I remember Carnosaur 2, a girl got eaten by a Tyrannosaurus. I wasn't expecting that. I don't know. It's just me.
It's a greater loss.
Regardless of the protagonist, like just this setup, I would be uncomfortable with it. Like
if it was a dude with a bad mustache, like if it was a dude that looked like me, you wouldn't care. It wouldn't be as big of a deal.
It's true.
I don't know. It just feels out of place is all I'm saying. Either way, no matter what.
No, I feel like they didn't, like there were times where they could have crossed the line with some stuff and they really didn't too much. There are some, cut scenes where the camera's just looking down her shirt a little too much and like it, you know, so sometimes like, you know, but I'm sure there's for every person that's going like, that's kind of weird. There's two guys out there playing the game going like, oh man, look at Lara's boobs. You know, so that's a thing. I mean,
did they cut down on the whole because you know she is gaming's probably first real sex symbol, I guess. I mean,
yeah,
maybe
absolutely. Yes.
Have they kind of tempered that a little bit? Have they kind of backed off that, or are they trying to redevelop her into a more realistic but still nonetheless sexualized?
Well, character? You know, they made a character model that is like you know based on like an attractive female, okay,
but she's on Grey's Anatomy.
But the character, but the character is not sexual at all, ever at any point so far, at least. I don't know. There's some romance later on or something, and that's okay because you know what? There was with, you know, Nathan Drake got his romance. Why can't Lara Croft? So, they don't do. I actually like her character a lot. I really like how when she gets into these terrible situations, she reacts very realistically, like, oh my God. But then also, and I also appreciate this, when she has to fight back, she's like, holy shit, I can't believe that happened, but it's almost kind of exhilarating. She's like, she almost kind of enjoys it. And I think like, you know what? I wonder, I feel like maybe I would also react like that to a degree, because like, you know what? If you don't kind of get into that, And it's not like these people don't deserve it, you know? I mean, she feels bad when she kills a deer, but when she kills like an asshole, it's kind of like, you know, take that, fucker. And I really appreciate that because I would hope that I would react the same way, because otherwise you're going to hesitate and you're going to die. You're going to get killed because you hesitate. And
does it seem more or less natural than the character progression acceptance in Far Cry 3?
way more natural to me. Okay. That was fun. Far Cry 3's progression was kind of fun. But this one felt like a person could, I don't know. Like, do, you know, they're completely different characters, because the guy in Far Cry was just, he was a bro. You know, like, just, oh man, oh my god, I just killed a dude, that was awesome! And Lara's like, holy shit, I just killed someone, oh, like, and then she's saying, like, bring it on, you know, I thought it was handled just fine. Like, totally, yeah, no problems, I have no problems with that. And I know some people do, because I have Twitter, but, yeah, I didn't have.
That's the only way he knows anything.
Yeah, it was,
so
it was
can,
cool.
So she can fight. She's just not a badass. I mean, they kind of tempered that as well. So what do you use to fight? I mean, bow and arrow.
Yeah,
knives,
so yeah, you get a bow and arrow stones early on. And then you're
the bow.
I haven't done any melee yet, besides a quick time event or two. Which actually, there's a lot of quick time stuff, but most of the time it's decently well done. It's not usually like, you know, a 12, you know, sequence, like button sequence. Like, they don't usually do that. And a lot of times it's just like mash X to open this thing, which is, you know, meh, but whatever. But yeah, I haven't really gotten into melee combat yet, but I know at some point you get some items to do that. And a lot of times I just haven't been that close to guys. I just hit him with a bow or hit him with an arrow from the shadows, you know? And I do have a gun at this point. And I have shot a lot of dudes in the face and the legs and the chest and the arms and everywhere else. I've killed a lot of people, but not like an extreme amount so far. Again, I'm kind of early on. I'm only like a few hours in, 2 or 3 hours. But yeah, it's, I like the NPCs, the characters so far have been pretty cool, except for unfortunately, he's going to be like the main bad guy. They're setting that up. But he acts and sounds like a Capcom character, and in the worst way, really out of place. But hopefully that'll just turn into something kind of fun. But yeah, it's you know, like this, when you do find, go off the beaten path and find a little tomb to, you know, find some secret stuff like that. That kind of stuff is really fun.
So what was, I don't remember. Did you play any of the recent Tomb Raiders?
I played Anniversary. That was kind of recent. And I played,
I didn't know what you're, if you were,
maybe Underground? Underworld.
I liked Underworld.
Yeah. Some of it. I didn't beat it.
Oh, Tomb Raider Underground, man. That racing.
That's from the racing. That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
He played the vampire werewolf one.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
I wasn't sure what drew you to this game. I mean, I've been,
you'll like it.
I love these character action games.
You'll like it. Yeah. And it's
very cool.
It's not like the greatest game in the world, but it's definitely competent and seems pretty well made. Like, it's, you know, I would, that's all we really, you and I really, we're okay with that. Yeah.
Back of the box quotes. There you go. Definitely competent and neat.
Hey,
Thank game. Thanks, Lara.
Lara.
Lara Croft.
So,
daughter of Larry Croft.
On the Larry. Larry
and Linda.
They get on the PC. The game looks really good. Like, really, really good.
Yeah,
I
think this will be my last major console game purchase before my PC upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't wait. Like, I'll probably end up getting it on both systems when it goes back on sale on PC, but I don't want to see it on PC yet because I can't play it there yet and it's glory.
Yeah. So I'm getting to quote me in the chat. It's good. It's good. I would give it a good so far. We'll see how, if that holds up or if it goes up.
Good
from
doesn't
there.
Even mean anything anymore, man. Good is bad.
Well, no, bad is bad.
What do we mean?
We play bad games. I would say a game is
so
bad.
Mysterious. Like, but bad is sometimes good.
Sometimes yeah. Bad games are. Okay, so speaking of that,
I know where you're going.
Actually, there's nothing bad about Euro Truck Simulator 2. Nothing bad about it.
Only the YouTube rabbit hole that it can take you down.
Yeah.
After playing it.
Okay. I knew nothing about the first game, or that it like that it even existed. And then this game started making the rounds on internet message boards. If you heard of those things, they're places you go and you find out information about things you maybe didn't know about.
Or really ever needed to know about. I mean,
yeah, except you need to know about this. That's why I'm passing this on. Okay, simulation in the very true sense of like when you would expect the box to look like the Microsoft, you know, Simulator Series box. Like it is very much, you know, no. There's not a whole lot. There's no stuff thrown in there for like video game reasons. Like you're never at any point you're like getting points for jumping and ramping and stuff like that. You get penalized for screwing around. Okay.
What?
But wait.
Asshole penalties?
But wait. So I fire up the game.
You tell them you're driving a truck.
I create.
Do they know it's a truck?
I start up the game. Hang on. Let me just walk through this. So I start this game up. First of all, I have my steering wheel attached. Steering wheel and pedals.
Yeah, you do. Oh, shit.
Yeah. I got the whole thing. I wish. God damn it, I wish. I have to push a button for the horn.
Kylie, bring me my overalls.
And my trucker hat. Give me the tallest hat, baseball cap that you can find in the closet and bring that to me.
Do they have any CB radio accessories?
Yeah, I'm not going to say no because they have some really weird flight sim accessories and racing accessories. They may. So I fire up the game, and the very first thing you do is create a character and a trucking company. And there was right off the bat the greatest portraits. Like, there's like 100 character portraits, and they're like, they look like pictures.
So many Mr. Dave options, I'm sure.
Oh, they're, yeah. I saw Mr. Dave right away. I'm like, holy shit, if Mr. Dave was a trucker, that is Mr. Dave. And I picked that. But you would not believe these look like they just took pictures of like, not the developers. I don't think any of these guys know anything about computers. Like, they took pictures of like people on the street. They just were like, hey, homeless guy. And then they just photoshopped a hat onto them, like a trucker hat. But they all have that look like they're just like, I haven't eaten in days and I don't like the way you're looking at me. And it's so good. So I make Mr. Dave. So I've got Dave and Frank's Big Rig Hauling is the name of the company. And I start out and I just skip the tutorial. I don't need that. I looked at the controls. And you start out, and you don't have your own truck yet. You just use the loaner, and you go on. You pick a mission, and a mission is you get a certain amount of money based on how far you go, what kind of stuff you're hauling, the time constraints, and you have a ton of them to choose from. And they go all over, like Northwest, you know, Europe, and like in the UK. So you'll go across the channel. They skip that part. Like you go to the tunnel or the ferry or whatever, and you just drive there, and it's like skips, and you're back over the other side. And it's funny because sometimes you do that, and then you have to drive on the opposite side of the road. That's caused a few accidents for me, but it's so real. Like this truck, you should put it on automatic because it's got 12 gears, and it's so hard because you're going through. You'll go through 5 different gears, and you're only going like 20 miles an hour. You know, it's awful. So I put on automatic and it's so much more fun. But turn signals, got to use them. Otherwise, the other cars won't react right. So you're like, you know, oh, I got to change lanes. Boop, boop, boop. So you can get caught speeding. There's all this kind of stuff. So here I am. I must have played this. That first session, I must have played for like 4 hours. And I was driving for real. It was real driving. All I was doing was like trying so hard to stay in the lines. And just to like, you know, not hit the rail, don't hit the other cars, but it wasn't just like, don't run into stuff. I got really good, like fast. Like I'm going, oh man, I got this. It's like, it's just like driving. I just had to get the steering right. And so then I'm leaning back and I'm like, I'm kind of getting sleepy on some of the night driving. And I'm like, whoa, man, it's hard, tough to stay awake. Like, you know, and then like, so I, and then I, as I pull up to a gas station to fill up for gas and I go get a beer and I pee and I come back and I'm like, oh, I feel so much more refreshed now. I'm like, and so, you know, to stay awake for the rest of this trip.
Making good time?
Yeah, making a real good time. And yeah. Yeah. Gotta get want
and then
that
Kylie
bonus.
Comes home and asks how your day at work was.
Yeah, God, I felt like I'm like, man, I think I could actually be a truck driver. Like I could do this. And the point where I knew I had what it takes is the first time I had to back my trailer up to Ooh. to the facility, like where to the loading dock, and I did it on the first try. It was so just by doing the lean out the window thing, looking back, and I parked it.
Did you
perfectly.
Have a window peripheral?
Well, you can go into like third person camera and stuff outside of the truck and kind of cheat. But
I thought you had a window that like literally you.
Well, like no, you no but in the camera, so the three but like oh, okay. no, I that would be pretty awesome and. Yeah, you could do a 3D monitor setup, but no, you just like move as you move the camera around, like in free look, inside the cab, you can just turn it all the way out the right side, like, and your guy will just lean out he'll actually lean out and look behind. You know, put the elbow out. So yeah, that's really cool. I can't believe how much fun it is and how natural it feels. And I can't imagine doing this with like a gamepad or something or with a keyboard, like by a steering. If you're going to play this game, if you decided just after hearing this or you read a review or something and you go, I want to play this game, go buy a steering wheel. Maybe, you know, go ahead and just splurge, get the $300
G27. One that works with video games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that will help. But it also just fun, you know, it's fun to just kind of do this with your hands back and forth. And it has the best built-in radio. They have built in all these like these popular European radio stations, like the actual radio stations, and they have the streaming URLs built into an INI file, and you can add your own in. But it's got all these. I'm gonna listen to like awesome. French metal radio. Like, do it. So I'll go in depending on what country I'm in. I'll switch to those radio stations, and you know hear all the hits. There's some like everything's in there.
I wanted to tie into the actual CB radios in Europe. Like, based on where you're at in the game, it's actually pulling.
You know, I don't think there's any CB stuff in that. Like, even simulated. I don't remember ever talking or hearing other truckers.
I'm not buying a copy.
Well, I don't know. I may not be there yet. They may be, like, in the loaner truck. They may not let me use the radio. Or there may be a button I need to hit.
You haven't got your license. Really, like, that throw people off if they're... Like, they're actually driving a real truck in Europe, and then suddenly they get a, hey, this is Josh Lee here on Euro Truck Simulator that's calling you. Like, what kind of conversation would you have with them? What you would say. Oh, like, is it a minigame?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't know what would be fun. I mean, I guess that I just want to be realistic. I just wanted to, like, just pick the right, you know, give me, like, options of four things to say and make only one of them be right. And
so, Mm-mm.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah. That kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, and like really bullshit, you know, like 10-4, good buddy. It's like, nope, you're in Europe. That doesn't work. Like,
I don't
that would
know
be wrong.
If you're a truck simulator can handle branching storylines.
Man.
That would be awesome.
Yeah,
that would be great. Can you pick up hookers at rest stops?
The red truck, the blue truck, or the green truck, Josh?
The red truck.
Do you have a red truck? Is it red?
Yeah, it is.
So, have you...
Well, the last one
You're playing this pretty seriously. Well, mm-hmm. One, I would like to see the Ice Road Truckers give this game a shot. Ooh. I think that would be funny. And two, did you go back and actually play it like an asshole?
Yeah, so I... there are mods for the game. It's very moddable. And so you can do things like... some people have filled out the rest of Europe... like crazy people.
So
crazy people.
You can go visit
there.
Our chat friends.
And yeah, I could virtually drive to your house. I don't know how well it's modeled, but man, they've added just jillions of miles of real roads or whatever. And there's so that's cool. But people have added other vehicles or different kinds of trucks. Some of them are like real serious mods, and others are just bullshit. One of them is just like removing the speed limiter, the governor that's on the on those trucks, so you can go past, like, you're capped at, I think, 55 or 60 miles an hour, the equivalent there. And that's like a real thing. So that's smart. I mean, semis are pretty like dangerous, you know, on the road. They just run over everything else when they mess up. But when you remove the limit, that 12th gear, it actually goes farther. You're not maxed out on the tack, so you can
get another 13.
Yeah, you can keep on gaining speed. And man, when you do, it's, oh shit, it gets, depending on what you're hauling, it gets really hard to stop, and you can just plow some dudes. It's awful. Just like, they don't have a lot of realistic damage modeling because you're not supposed to play like that, I'm sure. But yeah, you can, and you can also mod the trucks to just have like way more horsepower and torque and stuff. So you accelerate real fast too. Cause you know, those things don't really take off like a car would, right? But man, some of those mods, like you could just take this, especially if you don't have anything attached, no trailer, and you just take out off in the truck. God damn. It's like driving a warthog. You just go drive through, you know, you just brrr, and you just run over everything. Like, I'm just going to ramp over these cars. I'm just going to run over them, and I'm going to go past that and I'm going to keep going. And whatever, you can find me. I'm not paying. Like, yeah, Euro Truck Simulator 2 out now on Steam and other services. It's really good. Really good. You guys should all play it. And then
that's the best, a much better endorsement than you gave Tomb Raider.
It's a much better game than Tomb Raider, for sure. Well, wait. It's a much better truck simulator.
Okay.
I would call Lara a truck. So, and then the last thing, which I played, which you guys probably were expecting this, but Star Wars pinball tables for Pinball FX2 are out. And
on everything.
Yep. Been playing that. I actually have only played one of the tables so far. Every time I start it up, not that the other ones don't look awesome. The Clone Wars and the Boba Fett tables look great, but that Empire Strikes Back table is so damn good. It's
pretty cool.
It's probably my favorite out of all the tables they've done. And it's not, like, it's not too difficult. Like, I always know what the missions are, what I need to hit to do. Like, pinball is all about, like, it's fun to just, you know, I'm going to slap the flippers when the ball comes down. I'm going to hit the ball. Or and then you graduate to, well, I'm going to aim for these ramps. And then you finally get to the point where you actually learn the rules of the machine and you say, oh, now I want to do the missions so I can get more points. And I had one of my first games in that first session. I had, like, the best game of virtual pinball I've ever had. In any table, and but then I ran into a bug, and it was awful. And it's something that is happening to everyone. It's like, if you're in the middle of a multi-ball and you hit this certain mission, and it makes a stormtrooper pop up and he starts shooting, and your balls get trapped and you can't continue. And I was in the middle of like a 40 million point run, and I was just devastated, absolutely devastated. But goddamn, if you like Star Wars or pinball, you will love these tables. Fantastic.
I believe in that Venn diagram. I played... Actually, I got this on iPad and on 360. And I too have only played the Empire Strikes Back. Because I really like the missions in that they try to show a little cutscene. Like, when it changed the background at the top of the table a little bit, like, that was... Mm-hmm. Like, just the little things that they do to, you know, embrace the... Like, there's... At least on the iPad, there's the other platform where they actually bring in the classic tables.
Yeah, they've got that on other stuff, too. Like, the Pinball Arcade.
Yeah, and which is cool. Which is...
Yeah.
But that's completely different than what Zen has done here. Just that they embrace the fact that this is digital pinball, and they're gonna throw in ridiculous stuff on top of it and make it fit the theme, and they just embrace it more and more with each table, and just like the random Star Wars shit that shows up, is awesome. And
yeah, just like random, like, oh, a TIE fighter just flew across the screen. Like, cool. Yeah, sure. You would never be able to do that on a real table. And that's totally okay.
Whatever that thing is on the Empire Strikes Back table where, like, basically the lightsaber, like, the ball gets on top of a lightsaber that
delivers it down. Yeah, the movable ramp is, like, that's a thing that pinball tables have done, you know, that, like, it swings out. But, yeah, it's a freaking lightsaber. And, you know, it doesn't even work from, it doesn't work for a pinball, like, real pinball perspective or real Star Wars perspective. Like, the ball would just get cut in half by the lightsaber, right? They just embrace it. They say, you know what? It looks cool. Let's do it. Yeah, I appreciate those little touches as well. So yeah, that's what I played.
Those are video games.
A lot of games.
Yeah. Justin, you want to give us some HorribleNight.com updates? Do we have anything?
Unfortunately, we do. There's been a lot of struggles with the site in the past week and a half. We had some outages last Monday and this Monday. I think we've gotten on top of them a little bit more and are continuing to try to improve the site's experience, but this is just kind of the growing pains that you're seeing actively on the site. But as you run across bugs, hit us up on our contact form or hit me up on Twitter. Just make sure we're kind of aware of this stuff. And things are getting better. I think in the next few weeks, everything should be sorted out. But it might be a little bit bumpy the rest of this week. But we're going to still keep things going on our Twitch channel and Facebook and YouTube and that kind of thing. So, any feedback, we'd be appreciative if you do run into something that seems a little bit off. That apologize for the the construction around here, but we'll get it sorted out. And then event-wise, this weekend is the Louisville Arcade Expo. So those of you in the Midwest, if you're interested in classic gaming at all and pinball, recommend you go check out the show. We'll be there all day on Saturday, and come say hi if you see us. And definitely we'll be reporting back in on that next week on the Horrible Show. But besides that, continuing our highlight reels on YouTube and more streaming sessions with Ethan and I, trying to talk some of the other guys into jumping on our Twitch channel. So almost to the point where we're having daily streams, but definitely trying to get a variety of games up there and also do some playthroughs of some things in addition to our live podcasts every Tuesday. So more video, and then once the site's a little bit stabilized, you'll actually start to see some familiar faces from HorribleNight.com come back to doing more writing on the site. So that stuff's taken a little bit of a backseat to our video content, but once Cole and Gifford and are back in action, you will start to see more of the editorials that you've come to expect. So that's it.
Awesome. So yeah, that's the show. If you guys enjoyed it, please, if you got us on iTunes, rate us on there, give us a little review. We could use that. It's like barren wasteland. SGBS, the iTunes page. We do this every 2 weeks, and the weeks we're not on, Horrible Show, hosted by Justin, same crew here. We talk about, a little more, topical kinds of video game stuff. Not just what we're playing. That's pretty awesome. Check that out. Check us out on youtube.com/HorribleNightTV, twitch.tv/HorribleNight. We do all these shows live. You can hang out in the chat with us like all these fine folks did tonight, in which thank you for coming. And thanks, guys. It was a fun show. We will see you again in 2 weeks. Later.